If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the rightstuff.biz.
Well, hello. It's the Daily Show, number 915.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Is there any significance to 915? Other than that's about the
about when I wake up.
That's about the time I was when I wish I was still in bed.
Yeah.
915.
About when I roll out of bed.
Finish that last set of decline benches and be like, God, I could just be sleeping instead.
Like me.
I could just sleep on the show. Hi,
yeah,
Alex.
It's 9:15.
9:15. We're here. Can I start off with my silly bias confirmation? Even though I have no energy, I will make it funny. The bias confirmation. I navigated over to a wonderful website known as the American Conservative.
Hmm.
You know that if there's something
you're gonna talk about.
You know something valuable discussion. Yep. If it's on the American Conservative,
it's
you
relevant.
Know you need to know.
It's relevant.
Every detail. Mm-hmm. There's no way that something would be
there's
on.
There's something else funny about it. We do this for this.
There's nothing
else.
You would. There's nothing.
I know where we're going.
There's
yes.
No, there's
yes,
there's
yes,
nothing that ever yes. be on the American Conservative that would be there to completely waste your time, de-radicalize and depoliticize you and your existence, make you run down blind alleys. Rabbit holes for nothing. It would not have you hacking at branches.
They actually do a better job than most, though. They're usually more credible. They have a
well,
like, this respectable air about them.
Here they are: seed oils and bad science. So that's how you know. You don't need to pay this issue any mind. It is a branch out there to prevent you from hacking at the root. Hack at the branch. Seed oils. Did you know there's a lot of corn syrup and everything? Yes, there's a corn syrup and everything. Because you won't deny the Holocaust, because Jews run this country, because Jews run every aspect of this, from right down to what they recommend you're supposed to eat, down to limiting you from, according to, there's actually a very sad story in this article, even though I'm making fun of it, of two ladies that tried to bring a baby formula to market that didn't have high fructose corn syrup in it as like the main ingredient, and they got shut down by the FDA. It's like, well, so what are you gonna do? You gonna do American Conservative? You gonna run a couple.
That's vertical integration, which is something that's been going on for decades. That's you don't have a big enough monopoly. You can't do that.
Well, my question would be,
you got $5 billion in your portfolio.
Would they, if they had put seed oil in their formula, would they have then, did the FDA say, because of lack of seed oil, you're not getting it? Or is it because one of the Jewish corporations that we already are giving carte blanche to?
Well, it could go either way. I don't know.
It told them
that their labeling was not compliant, and they had to recall everything.
Right,
basically put them out of business. Was this just an excuse, or is it like?
It's,
but the point is well, like the point is like to do it going after like a reform movement about seed oils in the FDA is not going to get you anywhere near what you need to save this country from the niggers.
It's actually even a fucking distraction.
It's a total distraction.
What I think is, it's actually even a distraction from why those two women actually couldn't bring their formula
to market.
Of course,
that's what.
Like, it's even from that issue. Even from that issue, it's a distraction. Even from like the libertarian, mm-hmm. like wow, the FDA is getting up in stifling new entrepreneurs. Even from that perspective, if that's your issue, like even this is a distraction from that, because I doubt that that's why they were denied. They were denied based on some bullshit just because they wanted to compete with big players.
Why do you have to make me read?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to do it.
With the goal of offering a formula created from entirely natural ingredients, something they found the market lacked, women hoped to provide a clean formula to desperate moms who were ordering black market formula from Europe. I guess that's a thing. But the FDA agents, after examining the packaging, told the Bobby founders their label was not compliant with current infant formula regulations. They would have to rework their entire production process and issue a recall, which amounts to writing on the wall for any product marketed for infants, especially infant formula. So that's basically it. Their label didn't comply.
Okay.
You got bureaucrat ganged.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were shutting you down out of the market that they control.
See, if you were a multi-billion-dollar corporation, you'd just be like, okay, yeah, we can change that label. Yep, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you just also be like, or we can just change that regulation.
And then she says here, because this is where, well, this is where you just...
Either one, right? Whichever is easier.
The problem, according to Modi... That's the...
Howdy Modi?
No, different Modi. A lady named Modi. Is that European... See, now we're wasting time on the show doing it. This is a time waster. But it is just real quick. Stringent FDA standards regulating baby formula production are stuck in 1980s conception of nutrition. That's not the issue. They're not stuck in 1980s. They just have a stranglehold on the market, and you're going to use the corn syrups. You're going to use the people that have the monopoly on industrial food production.
You're just not going to use anything because you're just not going to be allowed to compete.
Yeah,
period.
You're not allowed to compete.
Like, that's
well, it makes for a nice little hurdle that you have to try to jump right over with your small company.
Yeah.
Bobby's formula boasts and still does of being a no-nonsense product, contains no corn syrup, no palm oil, and no maltodextrin.
Oh, fuck that shit.
What's maltodextrin? Palm oil?
I don't know. Let's start a campaign against it.
Instead, the company used pasture-raised dairy, manufactured the product in Germany, and marketed it as toddler formula to avoid the stringent FDA requirements around it. So a toddler formula. So you're blowing up their spot. Good job, American conservative. These people fought the power and won, and you're letting the cat out of the bag.
But if you, I think though, if you buy it,
it didn't work.
Yeah, they still shut them down. They should have sold it as like a malt beverage.
$15 million worth of investor backing in Bobby. The San Francisco moms worked quickly with the FDA infant formula team in Maryland to bring the product up to snuff. Having done so, they re-released FDA-approved formula to an anxious world of ingredient-conscious moms for the first time ever. A U.S.-made formula was certified pesticide-free. So it's got bugs in it. The company sold out 10 months worth of backstock in 2 weeks, third and fourth retooled ingredient list. However, after lactose are high oleic safflower or sunflower oil and soybean oil. So they're in the FDA doesn't require seed oils as an ingredient for infant formula. What it does require makes it near impossible to go without.
So did they eventually fold and use seed oils?
Apparently they're using sunflower oil.
Well, those kids are going to die now.
Well, something's going to happen to them that makes them makes them feds, makes them ineligible to be part of a dissident political movement if you're not.
What, sunflower oil does not?
Hold on, I just realized we're not supposed to be giving them formula anyway. Right?
Right.
Well, that's...
Yeah, no, they were fed from... Yeah, they're even wanting to do that.
If you're giving children, you might as well kill them. I think that's what from Australia was basically. He was saying, just feed them milk. Because it's like, well, you can't breastfeed, might as well kill the kid.
Speaking of breastfeeding, the United States just recently revised their guidelines. Mm. They're telling women they can breastfeed up to 2 years. Which actually, by the way, that puts them into lockstep with like the WHO, which has some recommendations.
And did you see the response?
Yes, the response was
hilarious. The response was like, this is like creating...
Oh my God.
Dude, the response to this was so fucking typical of like...
This was like them overturning Roe v. Wade all over again.
But it was funny because they were like, this is like stigmatizing and putting undue stress on moms. And like, it was literally like... The women who don't have kids and probably won't have kids.
Oh, my God. The transfer's done.
Yeah, amazing.
I can post-prep.
Nice. Women who don't have kids and probably won't have kids or the idea of it is, like, horrifying to them are out there writing articles and blogs about how, like, this is putting, like, undue stress on, like, immigrant and BIPOC mom bodies and shit like this. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, they're like, why is the government, like, stigmatizing? I'm like, just shut up. Just shut the fuck up.
You fucking retard?
Seriously. it's literally like, it's the same people that would say if the FDA or somebody said, like, you should, like, eat healthy. They'd be like, why are you judging how I eat?
Well, no, that's not fair. The FDA literally says you should eat shit.
I know they do, which is
the
funny,
problem is, yeah. like... The problem is, like, this lady now, like, what are you going to start doing? Like, you're going to do... I mean, these people already dumped, like, $15 million into trying to comply.
It looks like they actually brought their thing to market, though.
Sort of. They had to compromise. They had to put seed oils in. It's not a novelty take. I want to move on from that. That's the waste of time.
Yeah.
The real take
no, no,
is...
No, 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 no. I got a novelty take on the breastfeeding thing.
Okay.
Great. So the theory that some people have about the WHO recommending you breastfeed till 2 is that in a lot of countries, the water isn't safe to drink. So if you were to, like, make formula or something, you just poison the kid. So really, this breastfeeding recommendation is just trying to get you used to living in a third world country.
Mm.
That's how bad conditions are going to get.
So the mother is like a water filtration device?
Yeah, exactly. So you got to use the mother as the water filter. So that means...
So could sell,
it's a pretty effective filter.
So could Alex Jones sell you your mother?
Oof.
I'm sorry.
You got an authentic third world mother.
I just want to tell these people, it's like, your quarrel is not with the FDA. Your quarrel is with the Jews that run this country. They run the business atmosphere. This is the marketplace that they set up that you can't break.
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I would not be surprised if the women that started that company were not Jews. They're from San Francisco. I would want to look into it. I don't know
why you want to distract from my...
Sorry, brilliant. I'm sorry. I'm
I mean,
sorry,
my,
sorry,
my,
sorry.
I mean, don't you want to... tell people that, like, you have a quarrel with this, the entire system itself, and the system is Jewish. You don't have a quarrel with these people. Aren't stuck in the 80s. They don't not know what they're doing. They don't not understand that it's that your baby formula is healthier. That they don't want you to produce it because you're not part of the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, that's the real issue.
That's the real issue, and that's what I was trying to get at. I don't know if these women are Jewish, and I don't fucking care, because they're doing the goyim bit. And the lady writing on American Conservative, like, are we gonna boycott the FDA? What are we gonna do? Listen to this analysis she has. So long as seed oils were cheap, maybe we were still coming out on top, at least economically. But now as inflation hits vegetable oils hard and the war in Ukraine causes a fertilizer shortage and complicates future production, it's hard to know what, if anything, we gain by continuing to consume these oils. It's clear, on the other hand, we have lost what we have lost in the process. Food produced from diverse local ingredients. Farms that operate independently of the tug of corn and soy cash crops. Healthy hearts, healthy bodies, and healthy minds untainted by harsh chemicals and toxic oils.
Does this conservative realize it would take state policy to correct that?
Like, I don't know. I think they just want to be left alone.
You know what? One thing you would probably have to do? You'd probably have to appropriate a lot of farmland and redistribute it to small farmers.
Yeah, you'd have to deny all these intellectual properties and patents to Monsanto. You'd probably have to take a bunch of their land and give it back to people that would work it so you can have local ingredients.
What if you nationalized some of these companies and then broke them up into smaller plots?
You'd be sliding into Bolshevism, right, Mike? Sliding.
Yeah, sliding.
The slide administration.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. I wanted to quickly get this out here. I would not be surprised if the Nestle Corporation just copied that formula they came up with and then just marketed it themselves, like had a version.
Yes, yeah, you're probably right.
They just looked at it and they're like, oh, looks like there's actually a market for this. Okay, I think we can do that.
Well, usually the better move is just like you just, it's like certified organic, like certified no seed oils. There's like product made entirely of seed oils. Right? Like, or like, this is a low carb. This is a, like... Or like I would let this. Okay, this is low seed oil baby formula. If you take the amount of seed oil and you subtract the equal amount of lactose, then technically, by the time your baby digests it, there's no seed oil in it. It's just lactose, because that's what they do with like low carb stuff. It's like, well, you got dietary, you got 38 grams of carbs, but you have 30.
Are we like just failing this shit test like really hard?
Well, no, because honestly, like people that hate seed oils. And don't like that. Like, do they think that they can tell people how to run their businesses? This is the pushback piece that the same sort of person that would fall for this PSYOP also falls for the capitalism PSYOP. The how dare you regulate PSYOP? Because Alex just brought up, like, do these people realize like that you need state power to change anything? It's like, yeah. It's like who would these regulators be that would be able to tell Nestle how to run their business profitably? Tell them they're not allowed to use seed oils anymore? Would you do that? Would you tell these companies big? Capitalist corporate entities that you think need to be providing jobs and growth and blah, 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 bringing things to in the free marketplace. You're going to tell them how to run their company?
Yeah.
You're going to tell them they can't use these more economic and profitable, because that's what it is. These are more economical and profitable ingredients, and it's run by basically a cartel. That's why you can't get the that's why the FDA won't let these other actors in. But you're going to tell them how to run their cartel?
They are more economical and profitable due to state policy, so you're going to use state policy to fix it.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. It's not like it's a natural fact that these are easier. It's like because of like years and years of policies compounding, we have an abundance of these items.
Years and years of policies that ultimately destroyed small and local farming, and this stuff was done intentionally. It was called euphemistically market-oriented foreign policy.
Oh my God.
And as I call it, American conservatives thought it was great. Now the American conservative doesn't like it? Industrialize all the things. Make everything efficient. If you can't be done efficiently here, ship it overseas and shit, and then bring it back on a boat.
Oh, man. I actually can't wait to read your article on this. Market-oriented.
Oh, him. I was like, I would never write anything.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Can barely bring
myself article in the New York Times, though. It's kind of funny. It's like, why breastfeeding isn't the answer to formula shortage.
Oh, God.
And now, well, here's
that is great.
There's
stuff.
One defensible argument, which is that mothers that have stopped breastfeeding cannot easily restart. And so they cannot be helped by this saying just breastfeed.
You mean you can't unless you stopped like yesterday?
Yeah, unless you have another kid or something like that, right? You know, so breasts stop producing milk, and then you really can't make them start doing it again. So there's that. I can understand that argument, but the rest of it is literally like it puts stigmas and undue stress and all this shit, and like
God damn it.
And I'm just like, shut the fuck up, just shut the fuck up. And all the women they feature are like these fat like beaner women. It's just like shut up.
Well, the other thing is everybody believes they have to go to the hospital to get their C-section, and if you do that, you're going to promise breastfeeding for sure.
Oh,
doing those heavily medicalized childbirth things like that's going to create problems.
It's going to create major problems.
Well, look, another structural factor that's making life worse for you.
Yeah,
how can we fix that? Gosh, if only there was a solution.
We just need to not have any power. The one thing for sure is that the way to fix it is not to flex with state interventionism. That's always the bad thing.
That's my thing about this article he's talking about. So she's complaining about this lack of small farmers, like localized produce and stuff. Like,
oh my God, that is
heavy-handed state policy at this point to fix that.
Yeah, that like getting to go back. I mean, look, I'm all for it.
Oh yeah, no, but what I'm all for this, but this like it's going to be like the New York State gun owners, whatever they're called. Like they just got this big Supreme Court victory the other day. So what did New York State do? They just wrote a shit ton of other laws. They're going to need fresh, brand new legal challenges to make them go away. Like this is how conservatives work. Like, all right, we're gonna go after this one little. We're gonna go after this little thing. We're gonna fight it out. We're gonna spend millions of dollars, waste everybody's time, and get the big victory. That's not a victory, and then when the victory's over, it's like, oh my God, a few more victories like this, I won't be able to, I won't survive. And that's the conservative movement, and so here we are with seed oils talking about the FDA, and saying that, like, they're stuck in the 1980s. It's like, really? Like, listening to Duran Duran, and they have leg warmers on, and they just don't know any better about what's more nutritious for your baby. No, they just don't give a fuck.
Well, like, they're stuck in the 1980s, wouldn't they be thinner?
Yeah, really.
That is true.
But yeah, it's like I remember like another one of these cases was like that anti-BDS shit where some of these actually got they passed them and then they overturned them because they were unconstitutional. And then so the Jews are like, well, we're going to have to just draft it again with different language that doesn't hit that same tripwire. And of course, the legislators will just pass that again. Like the Jews will literally be like, all right, well, this didn't make it through. Mm-hmm. So we're going to rewrite it. And then you pass this law again. So they can do this. They can just give the new law back to the legislature.
Keep that revolving door spinning.
Right. And
that's how democracy works.
But eventually they actually got a court of appeals. I think it was Arkansas was the state in question here. They got like a court of appeals too.
You mean Arkansas?
Yes.
The other Kansas?
Yes. They got a court of appeals to say no, that actually is, you can actually do that. Like that's a constitutional law. You can actually make state contractors sign a fucking piece of paper saying that they're gonna not boycott Israel. I mean, think about that. Think about how fucking crazy the idea that would be constitutional is. Sometimes it's crazy you say like abortion's a constitutional right, but you know, here we are.
Oh wait, it's not anymore.
Not anymore, but it was, And now it's not. And now, but what definitely isn't a constitutional right is like not signing a loyalty oath to Israel. You don't have a constitutional right for that. Not if you want to do business in this state. Not if you want to do business with this government.
Mm.
And of course, the way they enforce it is through the fucking colleges. And I knew that was how they were going to be doing it.
Mm.
All of this shit was done through these state universities. Anyway.
Okay, I just checked something because the Roe v. Wade thing, it made me think for a second. I was pretty sure that I had seen this happen, and yeah, sure enough. Do you know there were protesters in other countries when America overturned Roe v. Wade?
Yes.
Like just, Australia?
Yeah, just like there was Black Lives Matter protesters in other countries too, because it's not – because none of this shit is actually about the issue. And I've said this before, and people have gotten mad – or some women have actually disagreed with me on this. Where they've said, no, I think, Mike, you don't understand how women relate to the abortion issue. I'm like, okay, that's fair enough. I can believe that.
Wait. We're talking about a political issue, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to care?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
You just do what your husband says.
Or well, no, they weren't. Father. No, they weren't disagreeing with me. They were that. Because my point, they were also against abortion. But my point was that I was like, I don't really think that people quite get exactly how the abortion issue operates, and that the libtards that are for it don't actually even care about the material reality of the issue. Because, as we said, the Roe overturning isn't going to result in much of a material change in how many abortions there are. It's literally they don't want conservatives to get anything.
Yeah.
And conservatives also seem to be kind of like equally unconcerned with the material reality of the outcomes. And are more concerned with the, well, you know, finally, we finally got a symbolic
victory. Here's the thing, though. Conservatives also don't want to get anything.
Well, no, conservatives, they're caught on their back foot here to have, like, this abortion victory. Now it's, like, even more challenging. They have to go even further, like, prove their actual feminist bona fides.
Right.
To the detractors, because they get to make it about, like, you just want to have power over women's bodies like a rapist. They're like, no. Right, actually, right. I love women more than you. And I think women should have more to do in the democratic process. They could be and there should be more women.
They're going to do that. Same and they're going to also do black women, too, because they're like, the same this thing, was, like, call, they're like, we literally did this for black women.
Call a conservative a racist, and they'll tell you how much they love niggers. That they like niggers better than you.
Well,
do.
Actually, talking about abortion, they'll tell you how much they like niggers.
That's what they do. Like they'll go on the thing where like I'm actually more liberal and in a more principled way than you are liberal.
Which is actually like, and frankly, they're not wrong about that.
No, they're not wrong. And that's what's so funny about it, and that's why it's so stupid.
Because but the point I was making is the reason you have these protests in other countries because it's just the libtard thing to do.
Yeah.
Like it's not even about this kind of cements my feeling on it, which is that like they're mad just because like conservatives got something, like just the people that they see as the enemy, the people they've been trained to hate and see as like the awful white supremacist. You know, I know they're not, but that's what they think they are. These awful white supremacist, evil conservative white people that want to like take us back to Handmaid Tale theocracy, which. Sure, why not?
Take us back to a fictional...
Let's just do it. Let's just fucking do it.
Time never
existed. Take us back to a thing that never existed. Right? So, no, I actually want to take us back to The Giver.
Is that a Coetzee reference?
No. Oh. It's like a kid's story. But it's a dystopian sci-fi story for kids about like some crazy... It's like an anti-communist... Yeah, but anyway. The Giver. That sounds like really bad. Starring Bill, but like anyway,
Jesus,
120 abortions.
Yeah, Jesus. But that's why I'm saying, like, the reason you're having libtards in Australia and like the UK protests is just because it's just like an Anglophone libtard thing, and so they're just gonna do it, just like Black Lives Matter.
They think that they're America. That's why I don't give.
Did anyone tell
them? Europe?
Has anyone told them? Like Australia, like you're not American.
It's like you don't seem to know a whole lot about Europe. Well, why should I care about Europe? Europe seems to think it's America. They follow my politics more closely.
What am I supposed to know?
Politics.
Maybe the Australians are concerned that if they're brown immigrants that they've absorbed, when they start to send them to America, those immigrants won't be able to have abortion rights, and that would be bad.
Maybe they're probably making some excuse like we don't want it happening here. We want to make sure all the brown immigrants here have as many kids.
Why would they deport their brown immigrants to our country?
No, they don't. They need those. What are you talking about?
It seems like we're the place. This is the place where all the brown immigrants want to end up eventually. So maybe they're just looking out for them. I don't know.
I think there's plenty that are happy to end up in Australia, dude.
Yeah,
and they're plenty happy to end up in Germany. Happy to end up in the UK. They love it. They're fine with it.
Yeah, it's cool.
They get fucking like in some cases those are even better than here.
I saw a fake screenshot yesterday.
Oh, I love those.
I mean, I don't know if it was fake or not. I didn't check, so I'm gonna assume it's fake. But it was also that it was real. I learned like the reason I know that like Great Replacement is like a conspiracy theory and it's fake is that like somebody said that like in the UK like Mohammed is the most popular infant newborn boy's name.
Hmm. That's been a talking point for years. I've been hearing that. I mean, one, is it true? Which I would be willing to believe.
I'm sure that in the UK it's true. Yeah. But it's like
so that definitely means it's fake. That the Great Replacement is not real.
Little Mohammed McNabb.
That would be kind of a funny flex.
But use all those weird ass fucking Gaelic spellings.
Well, the funny is use different spellings. Like you spell with an O or a U, like Muhammad or Mohammed.
Like you ever see Muhammad? Ever see McKevitt's kids' names? Then they say them out loud. I'm like, oh,
yeah. I'm like, wait, what? You named this kid Siobhan? No, I'm joking.
It's like, I'm not sure. I have a B with an exclamation mark like on top of it on my keyboard. How did you do that?
How do you put the colon on top of the letter?
See, I didn't want to go too hard with the Celtic Gaelic name stuff. I was like, it should be identifiably sort of Celtic, but not try hard. That's kind of the line that I was trying to the razor blade I was balancing on there.
What, Shane?
Shane is technically a Celtic name, but it's really? Not.
It's I always not, associated like, it strong. With like I always associated
Finnegan it sounds pretty Celtic, but that one's not like over the top.
Yeah. Well, Shane to me is just like, yeah, okay, so you're from Appalachia.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a bunch of Celtic people that settled there.
Finnegan, right, which is, yeah, that's exactly right.
Finnegan,
yeah.
Get me a beer. That's what I associate with that name.
Finnegan, get me a beer.
I can see Shane, I could see actually having been an Irish name.
It's like a bar. He's like Finnegan's.
It's like,
oh, yeah, McFinnegan's bar.
It's like,
so he'll practice growing up. Finnegan, go to the kitchen and give me a Scheinerbock.
Okay, Uncle Sven.
I wish that we had a pub. I want pubs to be a thing.
That's what you're raising a pub staff. That's what you're doing.
Like you have a staff already.
Some men like they raise like baseball teams. Like no, like you're raising pub staff. You have a little fry cook, bartender.
I'm good with that.
It'll be great. It'll be great. I'm apparently,
if I could be the proprietor of a pub, yeah, I would just get out of politics entirely. I would just be a pub proprietor.
No backwards hats, no sagging pants allowed in the pub. Nope. Play classical music all day outside so they don't bother. So what the hell else are we going to do here?
You should start using like Welsh names. I mean, just the name just doesn't sound anything like how it's spelled.
No.
It's just like totally disconnected. But anyway.
Welsh.
Like Griffud.
Griffud?
Is Griffith.
Oh.
Remember that actor? Yon Griffith? His name was spelled like Gruffud. No, but it's like, yeah, Yon Griffith. I'm like, what? Looks like Griffud. Anyway, whatever.
Griffud.
They played Horatio Hornblower. But yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, his best friend in the Horatio Hornblower series was the guy that played Adama's kid on Battlestar. What's that guy's name?
Oh.
On the original Battlestar?
No, on the new one. He was like, was it Jamie?
Was he like Star-Lord or Luke Skywalker or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think his name was Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's a Gaelic name, isn't it?
I wouldn't mind rewatching that.
I gave my kid a Gaelic name. His name is Luke Skywalker.
Oh, no, I got to give him a gay name. Sorry. I meant to say gay.
Yeah.
Anyway. I kind of wonder, though, what happens if a modern audience sits down and rewatches the Battlestar Galactica remake and it gets the Battlestar Ractica part? I was like, what is this?
Well, that's what's funny about it, is they're not going to have the reference points for why, what's going on there. Like, when they get to the part where they're like...
Even in space, Israel doesn't exist.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, they might actually relate it to, like, is the Israel-Palestine thing, actually, because you can easily kind of transfer it to that. Battlestar Gaza, Gaza Galactica. Man, sorry, that was terrible.
A lot of people just be reading that, trying to figure out, like, why is this show doing this whole, like camp thing? Like, what the fuck is this?
And they did suicide bombers and shit, too.
Why did the media spend so much time? Why did the media spend so much, like, time and money pretending to be against that war? That's what I want to know. Like, why did all this stupid fucking, like, drama get put out that was all anti-Iraq war?
Because,
when clearly
because
the Iraq
they,
war was what everybody wanted and that runs this
they
country.
They had to manage, like, the hey, I hate George W. Bush feelings.
Oh, that's right. There were people that actually didn't want it and hated these people. Yeah,
but right. But the thing is, remember, we were talking about this last night with Warren. We were talking about John Kerry, who I fucking always hated that fucking piece of shit. Like, I hated that guy so much.
Genghis Khan.
They went to war without a plan to win the peace. I'm like, can you just, like, kill yourself? I'm like you went to the podium without a plan to say something interesting.
That was,
like,
such a big conservative own that time.
Like, they don't have an exit plan. The exit plan is victory, you stupid yellow-bellied liberal. You only need an exit plan if you plan on losing.
But how is it? But here's the thing. this is why I hate these people. It's one of a myriad of reasons. But one of the reasons I started really truly hating them was because I was like, we have the better argument. You are making it worse. You are letting them win. Like, the stupid shit, like, they went to war without a plan to win the peace is, it's like, no. Like, Donald Trump actually did this better when he went said directly to Jeb Bush's face, your brother's a fucking liar.
Yeah.
He said, your brother lied, and everybody lied. Like, that's, just say that. Say you're lying.
Like, well, they all lied.
They did
that. The consequences.
They did. They did the Bush lie. People died. It just
well,
didn't,
people
it didn't,
said that. You never heard that from a Democrat. Down.
I mean,
well, what did he lie about?
Right.
Colin Powell even admitted it. Like,
they all admitted it later. They all admitted it like years later.
He lied about his National Guard service.
That's dude. That's what they would fucking tell you. That's what they would tell you. Remember, like, Dan Rather.
Meanwhile,
like,
in Dan Rather's studio,
he fucking, like, lost his job over this dumb shit. Like, who fucking cares? This guy was a pilot. I believe that this dude, like, flew fucking Jetsons, Texas, in the 60s or whatever. Who fucking cares?
I just remember being like,
why does it even matter?
I just remember being like, this guy's from an elite American family. Of course, he didn't actually serve in the war. Like, what are you even doing?
Yeah, obviously, like, he didn't serve in the war, but he also, I'm sure his National Guard record is clean. Like, yeah. Of course, because they're going to be able to do
my
that.
Childhood
so.
Over this. They got rid of Dan Rather. I grew up with Dan Rather.
Yeah, I remember you used to watch Dan. My dad would be watching Dan Rather.
Dan, he was always on the TV.
Yeah, there was a, I think it was the 2004 election. When did they start doing that? Did Dan Rather still have a job 2004 election night? I can't. I just remember, like, there was an election night. When he kept using all these folksy down home like phrases for, like, talk. Hey, let's get some biscuits in this gravy here. Like, and then he would be like, an hour. He kept saying all these hokey things. I was like, what the fuck? It was really funny. I don't remember what. I think that was all for.
Fucking
about to dip my biscuit in that gravy.
Yeah, he said that about the.
He didn't even. So he lost his job in 2005.
Okay, so it was the 2004.
It was like well after it fucking mattered.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This country's a joke. This whole
it
thing
is,
is
the whole
a
thing
joke.
Is a joke. It is a joke. But see, Dan Rather is Dan
People
Rather.
Have to pretend
is,
like they don't remember any of that too. Like, you don't see any of that stuff.
Zoomers don't remember it.
No, they weren't there.
All right, but I mean, Zoomers aren't the people on TV making the stuff.
Oh
happen.
Yeah.
They're not.
I,
the one.
I remember it though.
Yeah,
phone's ringing, dude.
Yeah, it's not relevant.
Really.
I don't recognize that, Eric.
What was I just gonna say? Yeah, like it's just total. Like, there's no reference to it. It's like everybody involved in politics has agreed to, like, disavow and never speak again of that entire deck. Even like a lot of the Obama administration, they don't talk about it.
No, and Obama, they never really made, like, again, I'll just double down. Like, they never, I know there was, like, this seeming, see, one of the reasons I was so mad about that whole era was because there was this energy against the war, and it was basically through multiple ways, like, turned, made retarded and, like, dissipated and squandered. And of course, later on, when I understood why that was the case, I mean, back then, I just figured it was like, okay, there's obviously people in this camp that are deliberately sabotaging the whole thing. Like, they want the war, and but then once I realized, oh, it's just Jews, right? It's Jews doing this, right? Jews.
That sounds very familiar. Do you remember Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah,
it's like same energy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and the reason I went to over to Libertarian, one of the reasons I was attracted to Libertarianism is because they were the only ones that didn't really have like a top-down, I mean, they did have top-down gatekeepers, don't get me wrong, but on this issue, they didn't. On this issue, everybody was happy to just be like, yeah, they're all just fucking bullshit.
The most novel thing about the Libertarians that I actually ended up really liking, probably the most, was they didn't just signal against, like, support our troops worship. They actually went, like, actively did troop hate, which I found to be, even though it's a bit over the top, it was useful for breaking that conditioning about, you know, we love our cops, veterans, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like...
I don't really remember the troop hate too much. Because there was a lot of military guys in Libertarianism.
Yeah, but there was... I just remember there were Facebook...
There was a lot of military hate, not
that's
like
what
troop hate.
That's what I mean. That. Yeah. There was a Facebook group that I was in that was like... Was
oh, like, I remember that
some
shit.
Of the best,
oh,
well. Some of the best trolling I ever did
that was good trolling.
The troops are welfare whores. Oh, my
God. That's exactly
that
was
hilarious.
The fucking welfare whores.
The troops are welfare queens definitely got... Like, the Jimmies were, like, just out of control. Like...
just being in there for lulls, like I actually felt bad doing it, but these people would get so mad that weren't libertarians. Like, well, at least we're making non-libertarians.
Well, the people who you're making mad is the same kind of people we make mad now. So
that's true.
It doesn't really matter.
I love Israel and my sunglasses. Like,
Israel's
Facebook
a fucking welfare whore.
Yeah, right.
That's even better. Israel is a welfare whore. See, if you were to make that Facebook group today, you would just get banned.
See, like, there's two things that came out. Should I put them on? Two things recently, like everyone's been talking about the last few days. There's some new TV show on Amazon streaming with the Chris Pratt guy. It's not him. I'm waiting for him to be Super Mario. I don't know when that's going to happen. Like everyone was mad about that, but now he's just like another he's like an operator. He's got his little special ops crew. The series opens up. My kid was watching. The series opens up like they're in some fucking sewer catacomb somewhere, and they. Tripwires and explosion and firefight and very traumatic, and he keeps having PTSD flashbacks. And I'm just like, I can't. Like, you're not getting me on this team again. Like, I just, I'm like,
Chris Pratt is the way they give him roles of like, here's how you can still be helpful, white man.
But it's like watching American military douches.
Who cares?
Like, what country is this? Like, somebody, like, seriously, I hope they all die in this scene. Oh, this whole series, like the series ends because Chris Pratt gets shot in the opening scene.
Okay.
Because it's America on another fucking...
That would be a great troll.
And of course, the mission they're on is, like, they're helping, like, the Syrian rebels. So yeah. who must go?
Right.
Chris Pratt? Mario must
Chris
go.
Chris Pratt's gonna go.
Well, that would be really funny troll if you release, like, a series. It was, like, we got, like, 10 episodes coming up. But, like, 15 minutes in, like, Chris Pratt just gets shot and, like, dies.
And the show's
And then
over.
You're, like, the end, and you just end it. And people are, like...
Surprise ending. There was no show.
It was all big gag.
But it's like you're supposed to have.
You just put a picture of Assad up for the remaining 45 minutes.
You're supposed to have this big reverence for like the guys carrying around the big, like there's a scene in that like he's obviously got some kind of PTSD, and like.
I don't have reverence or not reverence. It's just
Chris Pratt in this. Like his bandwidth is too narrow for that role. That does not work.
He's been playing a military operator in the last several films, dude.
Single, like one dimensional.
They moved him into that.
One dimensional military operator? Come on, he's perfect for that.
Yeah.
Plus, he's white.
He's supposed to be the funny guy.
He can be, but.
Yeah, but they don't have any.
I'll tell you what was funny. He's in the MRI machine at the hospital in this
movie. And he makes
show.
A gag?
No. Oh. No, what's funny is you're supposed to take seriously. He's like. And then he comes out, and there's two operators have come to assassinate him. And he's, like, in his little fucking, like, hospital gown. He, like, disarms and dispatches both of them. Like, in the MRI
room.
That
doesn't,
like,
that's not going to happen. They'll probably just be able to kill
but
him.
But the American soldier, bro. He's, like, a Marine and shit.
I mean, what, so he's, like, Mexican?
Like, you mean, so he's, like, his BMI is, like, 45? Actually, I don't even know what that means.
He's like,
he's like, he's really fat and stupid.
He's like Mexican or some, or like a lesbian.
But it's like, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not like, is anybody getting back on board with like badass American soldier worship? Like, you remember, you couldn't let America have that sniper guy. Like, that had to be like the most
that
controversial.
That guy was a piece of shit, though.
Well, I mean, like, whether he was a hero, he's
when
not.
He got shot. That guy when he got he shot, I laughed. What's that?
Did they do a movie and then like Bradley Cooper playing?
Something like that. But when he got shot.
With American Sniper, yeah.
He got shot like by somebody who just hated him because he was a fucking dick. And I laughed. When Chris Kyle got shot, I just fucking laughed. Fuck that guy. But yeah, I will do that. Yeah, fuck Chris Kyle. But I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. Anyway. Well, this guy's just,
I just think it was gay because he got shot by a guy that he was counseling.
Oh.
He like got shot by a fellow vet with like severe PTSD.
Oh, all right. So well, maybe he was also just like an asshole.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, I don't care. It didn't bother me.
I just mean like not getting into.
Well, Chris Kyle thing was like late stage, like shitty fucking war propaganda.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm just saying if they couldn't get people on board with that, like why are you trying to give me Chris Pratt, and why are you trying to pretend that like he represents our fucking glorious mission to spread democracy to Syria, a democracy that like obviously the people there don't want it because Assad's been hanging on for how long?
Well, here's my question.
This is the longest regime change since like the Soviet Union for America. Like it's not going well.
Did you know that Bradley Cooper and Chris Pratt were in the same couple movies together? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, fine. But here's my question.
Bradley Cooper's in Guardians of the Galaxy?
He plays the raccoon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't Bradley Cooper's Jewish, right? That guy looks so Jewish.
I'm not sure. He does.
That guy looks so Jewish.
I had never considered such a thing.
What, that Bradley Cooper would
Bradley
be Jewish?
Cooper?
Well, the name could be anything, right? So that's irrelevant. But the question is,
is it Jewish? But he can play Leonard Bernstein.
Are we sure this guy's not fucking Jewish? I mean, you can say the name, okay, but like again, that sounds like a stage name to me.
He looks like a regular dude to me. I mean, he doesn't seem to have.
Oh, he looks like a fucking kike.
He doesn't have the Semitic smile. He just has curly hair.
He has curly hair. Yeah, you might be right. But there's a lot of these later stage Jews who have like a lot of goy blood mixed.
Late stage Jewry.
Yeah, they've got like just like they've managed to pump out. Good looking, like these attractive women by like raping Ukrainian sex slaves and things like that. Like, they've probably done it, been able to pump out like attract good looking men as well. You know what I mean? They don't have the, but again, the men get like uglier as they get older. They get more Jewish as they get older. So, we'll have to see Bradley Cooper in a few years.
But, they're discussing it in the context of can a non Jew play a Jew in a movie? Is that okay?
They always do that.
Well, Jews play that. They always do that, and they always do it the other way as well.
Sarah Silverman was bitching about this when they cast Rachel. No, Rachel Weisz is Jewish. They had her play Deborah Lipstadt. Who did they cast to play Ruth Bader Ginsburg? It was some attractive, you know, very attractive movie star woman, right? And in that stupid.
There goes my suspension of disbelief.
Well, that was the thing.
Right out the window.
It was like they were trying to pretend like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but she was like hot in her youth. Like,
they should have gotten a hold of like the Jim Henson people and gotten the Chamberlain puppet to play.
Here's my question, though. Why does it matter? Like for someone like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, why does her physical attractiveness matter in a movie about her? Why does she have to be played by an attractive actress? And actually, I'm not the only one that was saying this. And I'm saying it ironically to like Russell Jimmies, but feminists and such were actually saying this. Like, she, you know, doesn't have to be Hollywood actress looking to this. Not the point of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right? She's supposed to be a person who's a legal mind and not. It doesn't matter if she's pretty or not. Obviously, in reality, it didn't. But like,
so, the funny thing, I thought I remembered this. Bradley Cooper has to wear like a prosthetic on his face, you know, to really accentuate that nose. They got to like put a Jew nose on him.
When he plays Leonard Bernstein?
I did hear about this. Okay, yeah. No, that's Jew face.
Wasn't Leonard Bernstein like a sex abuser?
Dude, he's wearing Jew face.
Literally. Maybe that's why I kept thinking.
I want to take his face off.
I want to put his nose on. It's like nose on.
Nose on.
Stunning. They should say, again, man, this should just bring back Nick Cage as an actor. Just make him play like all these roles, like Leonard Bernstein, everything. Bring him back.
Nick Cage, he's in plenty of movies that are just all shitty.
He's doing the same bit that Bruce Willis was doing, only he doesn't have dementia. He's just doing it.
Yeah, I don't think Nick Cage, the dementia he has, he doesn't realize how terrible
these scripts are. He's always had it.
He's like, he doesn't understand, like, oh, this is a really shitty movie. I shouldn't do it.
I just don't think he cares, dude. I think he needs money.
It's hit or miss with him, because occasionally he'll actually hit a couple times here and there.
Yeah, everybody says Pig is, like, a good movie, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch a guy get mad about his truffle pig. Like,
bro, Leaving Las Vegas brought me to tears. Sorry, that's an old one, but yeah, that was when movies were still real.
Raising Arizona, that was a good movie. He was great in it.
You don't like funny? That was funny. Yeah.
You don't like Raising Arizona?
I have to rewatch. Maybe it doesn't hold up. I don't know, but I have a feeling it probably
does. I watched
Raising.
It's proto. You know, it's
running
it's
with the fucking Huggies. I'm sorry, that shit is funny.
It's a proto Lebowski.
Yeah,
it's a lead that leads up to that.
When he's I remember being a kid just finding this scene where he's running with the Huggies. Like, I found it just so fucking funny. And he's, like, running through people's houses and, like, dogs start chasing him. Like, and then all the neighborhood dogs
It has just the right amount of, like, stylized comedy that you can tell is not really supposed to be taken as, like, real, as the real world. But then it's, you know, it was good stuff.
I remember liking
Mandy. He was pretty good in Mandy.
You love that movie. Very well. I've never seen it, but
he talks about Mandy all the
However,
time.
He was not good in Willy's Wonderland. He's totally phoned it
in. Who? What?
Is that the?
I think
is that one of the Five Nights at Freddy's ripoffs? Yeah, where he's just
Anyway, before we get too far afield from American conservative, I wanted to make fun of Rod Dreher again. I know, but this one hits home for me. Because did you hear about the latest thing that happened with Rod Dreher? Guess who fucking played Rod Dreher for a fool?
Maybe I haven't heard about
that. Our old buddy Andrew Marantz.
Oh, yeah. You
thought. Oh,
so
of
course. He fucking did the same. The funny thing is he did the same thing to Rod Dreher that he did to my parents.
So what's the scam here? Like, Rod Dreher thought that this was one of the good
ones? He thought
he'd
get a fair shake.
These people that, like, aren't anti-Semitic? Like, fuck.
Well, he's a fucking dumbass. He thought he was going to...
Absolute dumb fuck.
But you're never...
He then wrote a column, and he kind of does like a tell-all on what happened with Andrew Marantz. And Andrew Marantz is now going to ghost him and never talk to him again, completely ignore him, and never, like, acknowledge he did this. Basically, Andrew Marantz pretended to be his buddy, pretended to be his friend, pretended he was doing something objective, pretended he really wanted to understand Hungary and all this stuff. Rod Dreher got him access to all kinds of meetings of conservative figures and leaders and the people that were doing this stuff in Hungary, and he just wrote a complete piece just completely trashing them and making them look like idiots. And then Rod Dreher comes out and he complains and making Hungary look like some kind of like fucking totalitarian shithole, as if America isn't. Rod Dreher comes out and he just He just, like, whines about how he was, like, nice to this guy, and then this happened, and he even, like, argued they were going to, like, bar him from certain things, and Rod Dreher's like, I told them no, let him in, and I'm like,
what a fucking idiot.
I'm like, this is why, look, I know, Rod, our only relationship is that you deleted my comments and banned me from your comments section for inconvenient questions, but, like, you should have just asked me about Andrew Marantz. I would have said don't trust him. I wish I had never spoken to Andrew Marantz, and I had reasons to do it that I don't want to go into. I'll say this effectively. I was being coerced. I was actually being coerced to talk to him, and I didn't understand at that time either that that was something I should have made an issue of rather than just respond letting him go ahead and do it. I should have been like, hey, are you fucking trying to blackmail me? I should have done that and really pushed him on that, which is, I've done in recent times. I've actually done that to journalists that try and do this kind of thing. But I was very afraid because he had all this personal information, and I was afraid he was going to, like, put all kinds of shit out there that, this doesn't, nothing, people, Mike has secrets. Yes. The shit that doesn't need to go out to the whole fucking world about members of my family. And he basically held that over my head as if, like, if you talk to me, I won't put this in the article. And so he's just coercing me. He just coerced me. There's nothing I can do about it now.
Yeah, and of course, now you'd go to his editor and be like, hey, look, my lawyer is not happy about this situation. You've got somebody actually trying to coerce me.
Yeah, now I would actually do that, right? That's what I would do. It's too late to do it now. But, like, I should have done it. But the thing is, that my parents...
The thing is, nobody tells you this is how the system works.
Yeah, I was just more green back
literally,
then.
Literally, no one in the history of America has ever warned anybody, like, oh, you got to be careful with reporters. They will try to essentially blackmail you.
Yeah.
It's a thing they do here.
Yeah, they basically, reporters just blackmail people. Make sure they, like, when they go in, they make sure they've got, like, compromising material on you before they think, oh, yeah, because I've also got this. They do it all the time. They actually write, like, just letters, like, threatening people all the fucking time. Like, well, I learned this. Would you like to comment? It's like, wait, are you fucking threatening me? Like, what the fuck is this? He was just starting complaining about this more often, which I would have complained about it if I had known. But again, he also did the same bit to my fucking parents, dude. He made them look like complete assholes.
I texted him at 5 a.m. because he had sent me a text saying he had not been able to get into CPAC. and that someone had threatened to call police.
Oh, this is what it is. Yeah.
This is a CPAC in Hungary, I guess.
Maybe it's a CPAC.
No, CPAC Hungary. And they wouldn't let Western
liberal media. Because that which is just shows Hungary already is.
But. You know,
Rodrigo is here to help.
Dreher thinks that's terrible.
Yeah, here to help, right?
He says, "I thought this was a really bad move on CPAC's part, and wanted to help him talk to people who would give him insight into the story he was there to report. The story.
That's not the story he was there to report.
I was simply trying to help him get the quotes I thought he wanted. I wasn't trying to get him to write a story about Hungary as Magyar Disneyland." God knows it's not paradise, but it's a complex and interesting country. But it's important to understand it's important to understand Hungary as it is. I came across that quote as a fanatic trying to puppet string the journalist, when in fact I thought that the New Yorker could be counted on to go deeper than the standard liberal media gloss. What are you, retarded? You have to be fucking retarded to think the New Yorker is going to do a good job at something that you think isn't liberal. Giving it a fair, like, how?
Well, they're going to go deeper. They're just going to go deeper into like the like anti.
So you gave them an opportunity to go deeper. You gave him quotes that he could use to make you look a lunatic.
Yeah. So he made Rod Dreher look like a fanatic.
Like, apparently that's what he's complaining about.
Rod Dreher's honest. Rod Dreher's like, yeah, Andrew, I'll let you in. So, you know, I'm hoping that maybe if I'm nice to you, you'll reciprocate and be nice to me.
I was wrong.
And Andrew Morantz is like, this fucking idiot is trying to manipulate me by being nice. This is why you can't be nice to Jews.
I was wrong. Useful thing to learn. Again, no one expects a liberal magazine like the New Yorker to write a positive piece, but Orban's Hungary.
It's a Jewish magazine.
Okay, but still, even so, it's like, why would you expect the enemy? Like, if you're astute enough to notice that it's an enemy publication, what makes you think they're ever going to give anything that you think is good a fair shake?
Oh, because they're highbrow.
But the fact is that the fact that there's no nuance or insight to the piece is telling. And what does it tell? That you're retarded, Roger. Yeah. The left is incapable of understanding why a politician like Viktor Orban. No.
No.
They don't.
No. This shows you're going to do this again. You're going to fall understanding for the trick again because you don't get why it happened, Rod.
It's not about that they don't get it.
Andrew Morantz completely gets it.
He gets it completely, and he wants to crush 100%. Whatever it is.
He wants to destroy it. That's the point. He's Jewish. And frankly, Rod, until you understand that the reason you can't trust Morantz is not because he's a liberal.
That's not
because you
happen.
Probably could trust a liberal Gentile.
Further up in the piece, he basically makes mention of like being accused of being anti-Semitic as being this like ridiculous. Oh, that's just.
Well, that's, again, so that's okay. Just, losing again.
Yeah.
You know, just keep losing. Just keep doing it, Rod. I mean, just keep meeting my expectations, you know. I thought this was kind of funny. Morantz, what a fucking piece of shit that guy is.
Isn't that the thing? If Rod Dreher was actually anti-Semitic, none of this would have happened. He'd have been like, fuck off.
Fuck off, kike.
Or just listen to this here. Like, here's the old. This is the absolute state of conservatism. In Hungary, gay people can contract civil partnerships.
Saying they can contract AIDS.
Well, yeah, they can contract monkeypox.
But that happens anywhere. Hungary, anywhere else, too.
They can walk down the street holding hands in Budapest, and nobody cares. But you know what they can't do? And then he embeds a tweet. Swindon Pride, which took place this weekend, featured flags stating age play and puppy play. People dressed in their fetish played with children, and attendees had to be told that the event does not tolerate people publicly having sex.
Why do you have to make the point that the faggots can walk down the street holding hands and no one cares? First of all,
that's not good either.
I doubt that they don't.
Wait. Is he contrasting these two things?
Yes.
Like, those countries so much better.
He's saying, look, we have responsible gays.
Yeah, we have like late 90s gays.
Man, we have gays. Yeah, we have gays of like a different decade of acceptability here.
Yeah.
We're going back to the late 80s, early 90s with the gays. It's just two dudes who are kind of different than other people, but not hurting anybody. We have that here. You guys have like the piss play stuff going on. It's like, well, one leads right to the other, buddy.
This man is a Muppet.
Ooh, this one's hard right here. He goes kind of hard here. You know what else they don't have in Hungary? Women and their babies reduced to breeders and accessories for gay men. Yeah, they're supposed to be breeders and accessories for straight men.
Yeah.
These are our breedings. Look at these two fucking faggots. New York surrogate. We did a maternity shoot and it came out great. Surrogate mother in the background.
That actually is a really fucked up picture, though, if
that
you think about it.
That is extremely fucked up.
That picture is like... Something
what
that is
would
just,
agree to do this,
like somebody who actually has usually surrogate moms.
Why doesn't she
don't
want
to be? Usually surrogate moms don't want to be known and seen, right? They want to be very, very private.
Well, this
private
is different. Like, you're signaling for, I'm providing a sex slave for these two perverts.
Yes.
I'm proud of this.
Oh, my God. That is a really fucked up, that is a really, really fucked up picture. And it also does really, it's not wrong to, what Roger is actually saying there actually is not wrong. It's that, in fact, the woman has now ultimately.
I don't want to give him any credit for, like, coming to one correct conclusion.
No, not me either, because we could have made the conclusion ourselves, too. And we've said this before, we've said this kind of thing before, but in that case, literally, yes, the status of woman is breeding stump. And that is ultimately where faggot politics lead.
With basic fucking intuition is going to come to the right conclusion here.
Yeah.
No points, Rod. None.
Let's give you another swing and a miss from Rod. I mentioned in one of my interviews with Andrew Marantz that going to Paris last summer from Hungary and listening to so many French people talk about how afraid they were of immigrant street violence, I realized that Viktor Orban had been right to keep the immigrants out. I also mentioned to him that when anti-Semitic violence flared in Western cities, including New York and Los Angeles, when was this? I don't even know what he's referring to. I was shocked.
Oh, was he talking about like the... The shooting in Jersey City?
There's no links to anything. I don't know what he's talking about. I was shocked to discover that there was no police presence in the Jewish quarter of Budapest. Even though Jews were walking the streets with their families, why no violence? Because the Hungarian government doesn't welcome Jew-hating immigrants.
Yeah. Wow. So losing. And guess what? Let me guess. Swing Marantz was totally unmoved by that.
He did not care. None of that made it into the story.
Yeah.
That's his next line.
Because he doesn't give a fuck.
It violates the canons of liberalism to point out that if you want to keep a liberal society, you better not let in certain peoples.
That's not the issue.
Marantz doubled down on the Orban hates Soros, therefore he must be a dog whistling and a Semite canard. So basically what we're saying, and Rod Dreher is arguing that Viktor Orban is keeping immigrants out to keep his Jews safe? Is that what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
This is what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
See, this is why conservatism has to go.
Yeah.
This is why it is the bigger obstacle to everything you want to try to do, because you will never get conservatives to let go of their Jew love. They love Jews so much they go to an enemy Jew to try to win him over. Tell him how great.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give any fucks.
Because a Jew is evil. A Jew wants to destroy you. A Jew doesn't want to mess.
He does not care.
Doesn't
want
to negotiate with you. He doesn't care about how they laugh at our sense. Like, we're gonna have Kevin McDonald on one of these days.
Oh yeah, that's great.
To talk about antelope. I don't know if I'm supposed to. Whatever. They're gonna be republishing the book You Gentiles by Maurice Samuels with a new foreword from Kevin McDonald. And that entire book is a Jew laughing at our sense of fair play.
And morality.
Ethics and morality.
Yeah, they think it's fucking dumb.
They think it's hilarious. It's a thing they can manipulate and use again. And here's fucking Rod. Oh, no, we got to keep the immigrants out to keep
the
Jews
safe.
And I can
just picture that smug little fuck.
It's like, does he not understand that Andrew Marantz has already come up with a storyboard for how this particular
He's already got a plan. He's just looking to fill in little pieces. Yeah. It's like a director just looking to cast certain roles.
No, it's like Roger.
You're going to be a heel. I've already got the role of the heel planned out. That's going to be you, Rod. And I just need you to fill it.
You're
say the lines.
Well equipped for this role, Rod.
Yeah, believe me, you're falling in a fall right into it. You know, you don't even get to be a cool heel like in WWE or whatever. Like, you don't even get to be like Vince McMahon, like snapping his wrists, like coming in, like, you know, you're just going to be like an asshole. Like an idiot. Because that's the thing. Marantz doesn't just make you look like an idiot. He makes you look like a petty, stupid, cheap idiot. He does. And like he didn't actually get to do that with me, though he tried. One of the funniest things that Marantz talked about one of our exchanges was when I was talking to him once, and I started challenging him on it was something about – it was about like Israel. I did some Nazi stuff with Marantz. I did a lot of ask about Zionism in Israel. And I would challenge him on the Israel stuff and some of their race law, and I think it was something about their abortion or marriage. It was marriage. It was Jewish marriage. How I was talking about how, well, it's not intermarriage isn't actually legal in Israel, and they always like to say, well, if a Jew and non-Jew are married outside of Israel, they can come to Israel and have that be recognized. And they try and like skate on that.
Yeah,
but I was just going on it. I was pressing him on it. And he's like, he's saying, I just like looked down and didn't respond until he was done. Because he said, like, this is enough of a contentious issue, even among Jews, which it's not, that's a lie. But I don't need to have a discussion like this with an avowed anti-Semite. That's the same thing that what's-his-face Savodnik said to me when I actually finally started getting down to the nitty-gritty on Jews, where I was like, no, they do, Jews actually do go in secret rooms and plan things. Because, look, we have this meeting, and I was going through all the Jewish groups, and he's like, look, I don't need to talk about any of this with an anti-Semite. And I was like, all right, so bye. You know, but that's the funny thing.
I accept your surrender.
So even I gave Marantz a harder time than even in being coerced to talk to him. I still gave him a hard time on these issues. I really wish that I had more of the savvy that I've got now back then. But whatever, you can't go back and change history.
Well, it's a learning experience. Yeah. You know, you learn as you go.
Yeah, I would have trolled him so much harder. And I would have also known, like, don't stop talking about Israel. Don't ever stop. Don't talk about anything else.
All right, I've got the L's just keep coming.
Of course.
Here's what Viktor Orban knows. That liberalism has produced a society and culture that despises itself and is committing suicide. It hates the traditional family. It hates Judeo-Christian religion and moral norms.
Dude, Judeo norms are what Andrew Marantz just did to you, you fucking idiot. Judeo norms are what he just did.
Unless is he calling Christianity Jewish? No, he would never be that edgy.
No. Well, maybe. Around.
I mean,
kind of.
You could be edgy and use Judeo-Christian that way.
Well, what's funny is but a lot of times they
really
do that.
Mean, you shouldn't do that, but I don't think that's what Rod was getting at here. Is Rod a cringe pagan, bro?
Well, the funny thing is, a lot of times the Christians like agree in substance with the cringe pagans. They just take the opposite perspective. Like Judeo-file Christians do always emphasize the connection between Judaism and Christianity.
Oh, my God.
And you get some.
It hates certain people because of the color of their skin. And
Which fucking people, Rod?
Let the man finish. Sorry. He's bloviating. Okay? It hates certain people because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, black people and immigrants? Sorry.
It hates certain people because of the color of their skin. And loves others because of the color of their skin. In both cases, irrespective of the content of their character. Content of the character. I've been MK Ultra. The MK Ultra phrase activated.
But let me ask you this, Rod.
MLK Ultra.
MLK. Oh my God. Well, how could we never think of that before?
You've been MLK Ultra.
How is that not something that we ever said before?
I'm sure someone's done that before. Someone had to. That's too easy.
It's so obvious that I feel like we're the only ones that ever did it. Anyway,
I don't know.
But here's my thing, Rod. Why won't you just say who?
Because he doesn't know Judeo-Christian. He thinks that's a thing.
He knows who's he hated for their skin and who's loved for their skin. He knows who those categories
are. That, but he doesn't.
He knows that, but he won't say it. Why not? Because he would like it to be that. Okay, you know why it is? Because conservative.
God, that again.
This again.
Yeah, the screw is missing.
The reason why.
I should find a really big unsightly nut and bolt to put in that hole.
Just to keep that together there.
Big, like industrial looking. Just.
The reason why, I'll know to move from here.
Sorry about that.
So the reason why is because conservatives want to do this bit of like skin color preference in the abstract is bad. I don't need to comment on any particular skin color preference because I know it's all bad. So let's just not even mention what the actual group dynamics of this is. It doesn't matter. Liberalism could any day now switch to hating black people and loving white people. That's possible. No, that's not the issue. That's not at all what it is. Rod. You fairy. You fairy. You company man. You have no idea what it's like to go out here with men. Anyway, that fucking guy. So it does feel like, is it too easy to dunk on old Rod, but you know.
It's just like all the things you don't like are Jewish. They're not liberal. They're Jewish. Complaining
that's
that,
too late for
and
Rob.
He also complains that like he would prefer liberalism to what he calls illiberal leftism that wears liberalism as a skin suit. It's like, why don't you hate both?
Wait, hating a skin color suit? You mean?
Yeah, right. It's like why don't you oppose both? Like why can't my sworn enemies just be the nicer versions of themselves? Like why can't you be the deadly version of yourself, Roger? Why can't you just be an anti-Semite?
I'm trying to imagine Rod in that role, and it's just not working.
Well, it's one, he's just too milquetoast, but also he likes his fucking his oysters and his trips to France and Europe and shit too much.
Glasses.
And that's all gonna gonna get lost if he doesn't do this like gay. Is that another picture of Rod right there on the lower right?
No, that's Bobby Cremo.
Oh, he's got similar glasses to Rod.
Yeah, he's wearing the goggles. hold on.
All right.
There you go.
That's like the American conservative author in like 10 years.
That's Bob. That's a Democrat operative Bob Creamer, right?
Yes. Ducks on the ground.
Ducks on the ground.
You remember that shit?
Oh yeah.
That was the dumbest shit I ever saw in my life. He's wearing the NASA suit. That's actually kind of funny.
What the hell is wrong with the parents of the Highland Park shooter Bobby Cremo? These people should be in jail. The inimitable Chicago columnist John Koss writes: immediately the mass shooting at the Independence Day Parade, Highland Park was weaponized for its political value even before the grief-stricken families of the victims could begin to process their loss, and the suspect's family was out here too, at least one of them saying he never saw this coming and was surprised. Does anyone really believe his family did not know of his violent fantasies and bloody dreams? No, nobody believes that. You take a look at the suspect, the face tattoos, the mouth, the madness. You listen to the violent videos he put out, and you see the eyes that are so dark and lightless. You see the evil that should have been locked away. What about, like, are you talking about Daryl... You talk about Daryl Brooks's,
yeah, right,
rapper.
Like, yeah.
Oh no, not him.
No.
He's insane.
Who writes this? Who's is Rod criticizing this?
John Kass, KASS, like okay. Kiss, but that's okay. how they say Kiss with a Chicago accent, I guess. Kiss. I like Kiss. Ace Frehley's my favorite. Meanwhile, his parents. There's like. It's funny, like he's. It's like there's not enough substance in the block quote. It's like he's padding. It's like he's padding the padding to his column.
No, they do this a lot.
He's padding the padding. Meanwhile, his parents' attorney has spoken out in their defense. There was no red flag in the report to police. Cremo used legally purchased Smith and Wesson MP15 to carry out the attack. He bought the weapon, which cost around $800 in 2020. Cremo's father supported his application for the Floyd card. The license needed to buy guns in 2019 when he was 19 and just 2 months after an incident where police were called to the family home. Police confiscated 16 knives after that incident because Cremo had threatened to kill everyone. He was not arrested, and his family say cops gave the knives back 2 weeks later.
All right. So what's Dreer's take on this?
He says the Cremos are not victims. They are in some way responsible for this, morally if not legally. The father helped the freak son buy a gun, even after the cops had come to his house to take his knives away after threatening to kill people. How do you pass a law against that, against an adult helping his adult son buy a gun? So what are we getting at here, Roger?
Yeah, what is the point of this? Like, what are they trying to do?
Roger will be calling for, like, we should be suing Smith and Wesson. Smith and Wesson? Isn't Wesson, don't they make, like, canola oil? So what do you want? His parents?
Conservatives just don't know how to frame things right. Like, they're just trapped in the bad framing, and they just can't escape it.
The skinny bug-like kid with tattoos all over his face, who was a loner with no friends, who drove a car with pussy magnet on the windshield. The one who threatened to kill everybody? This guy. What's on your windshield, Rod? That's pretty funny.
Is kind of funny. Like, I'll be honest. One of the pranks this kid did, like, kind of funny. Oh, this is the MK Ultra shit he was doing.
Be money all over the floor.
I can't take it. I can't take that. Like, this is obviously MK Ultra shit. But yeah.
Well, no, I think MK Ultra shit would have like a better budget and have.
No, well, I don't know,
that's
dude.
That's not the video I was thinking of. There's it would a like video look, that has like his logo spinning, and that would legit start.
Think about though.
That just looked like a cheap try-hard like faggot shit that like makes me mad. It's like,
yeah, no, it is, but it's also, but like. It's not totally low budget. I mean, he actually had...
Like, this is one of those examples. Like, why don't you make music videos anymore? Because I'm afraid they come out like that.
Right. No, I understand.
That's why I don't stand in front of a green screen and play guitar anymore. I did it one time. It was funny.
Looks like he built the set to look like a classroom. Like, that's not totally effort-free. Like, that's not...
I guess. Practical effects, you know. That's good. I don't know.
He's got a high-def camera there. He's got some... He's
not
got
high
some...
def enough. High def enough. Not good lighting. I'm just telling you, it looks like a cheaply made. It's cringe. Mm. So
obviously, I don't want to watch
other videos.
Videos.
Well, I'm just like I understand. Like, yeah. I mean, what could have gotten in between a set of parents and their son, other than just blaming parents for having done something
Why
wrong?
Why are we even having this argument?
Because Rodrigo wants to not have an argument about what's actually going on. He wants to have a novelty argument that doesn't go anywhere and doesn't solve anything that he can have over tucked away on this website. But you can waste your time with it as much as fucking you can waste your time on seed oil posting.
The best argument here is the people who utterly fail to prevent this level of mass violence have absolutely no right to take people's self-defense mechanism away from them.
Oh, yeah, there's that, yeah.
That's my argument. Like, people need these guns to, like, look at the chaos you people have created. You created it. And, frankly, like, the actual responsible white gun owner does not need to be punished and have his rights violated by your inability to maintain order in your fucking country that you control. Fuck you. And if you don't like it, step down, get out of the fucking way, stop being the government, and let people that are willing to handle this issue take over. That's it. Other than that, fuck off. No other argument is necessary.
And he just throws this in here.
What possible tweak could we do to the system here? No, there's none. There's none. There's no tweaks.
We don't know what exactly was wrong with Cremo parents. I think he means Cremo's parents. But I wonder if people have just become so absurdly comfortable with the transgressiveness that we don't notice extreme behavior or signs that things are terribly wrong with young people, these damn kids today. Someone wrote me recently with news of a local school instructing teachers to honor a student's claim that his identity is as an animal. The reader gave details but asked me to not write about it because he didn't want to burn his source. As I recall, he was just trying to assure me that these stories are not false and this stuff is happening in some places. So there we go. So he's just trying to be consistent.
Sorry, Rod just doesn't ever offer anything.
I mean, he's just wow, just wowing.
Yeah, libtardism. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be more willing to discuss, all right, what's wrong with a set of parents that allow their kid to do this for, but like on a mass shooting, like I don't know if you can really.
Yeah, but I'd also say, like, is it only that on them to do it? Like, is there other people involved here or? Or what is even wrong with the society that it keeps turning these people out? Exactly. Maybe his parents were at the end of their rope and they didn't know what to do with this kid.
It's a suicidal liberal society that hates its own Judeo-Christian heritage, Mike.
Right.
This would probably be a good time to bring up another sort of milquetoast right-winger.
Oh, God.
Scott Adams.
Oh, God.
Oh, is this
he even right-wing? Or is he still trying to be like Kreskin?
Is this him killing his stepson? Is that what we're doing now?
Wait, he killed his stepson?
Whoopsie. Oh, no. What did I do? Did I hang up on Alex? No. Go to call. What the fuck? I'm trying to close the damn chat. Can I close the chat, please? Thank you, Skype. Yeah, this is exactly it. When a young male, let's say 14 to 19, is a danger to himself and to others, society gives a supporting family two options. Watch people die. Kill your own son. This is Scott Adams. Those are your only options. I chose number one and watched my stepson die. I was relieved. He took no one else with him.
Wait, what the fuck?
That's the worst Dilbert trip I've ever
seen. Wait, what the fuck?
Is this like a dog?
Did this guy kill a kid?
If you think there's a third choice in which your wisdom and tough love, along with government services, fixes that broken young man, you are living in a delusion. There are no other options. You have to either murder your own son or watch him die and maybe kill others.
Did he murder his son?
No, he says he watched him die.
And was, well, what does that mean?
Son OD'd.
I think we're talking about drugs.
Stepson OD'd.
Okay. If one person hallucinates to me about some program where teens are kidnapped and fixed and returned to their happy parents, I might explode. No such thing exists. You have two options, only two. No help is coming, only death and suffering. This is the
black pill.
This is the master the master persuader right here, right? You ever heard Persuader? Persuader's really good.
That's
power metal band out of Sweden. Yeah. Persuader. You're probably twisting in your seat, and you want to tell me all of your good ideas of how there really are services and ways to deal with such a teen. There are none. You haven't been there. Many parents have looked for such help. I have lots of resources. It doesn't help. I just admit it's your stepsons. You don't really care, dude. If I were to invent a solution to the dangerous young man problem, I think it would involve putting them all in one place so they could only hurt each other.
Dangerous young man problem.
Not necessarily in jail, but just away from society.
Dangerous young man problem?
Like a sun man?
Dangerous sun man problem? Well, the fact is that is like far more, like, because he's obviously doing him. Well, I'm like, well, hold on a second. Let's think about something, Scott.
Wait,
Adams.
Is his stepson a nigger?
I don't know.
Is it true, my wife's son situation?
It could be. I don't know.
Actually, I'll give him just a little bit of credit for pointing out that technocratic solutions don't work.
Yes. Yes. But I would also say, like, let's think.
Why is that underneath it?
Because it's your fucking account, and, like, it's giving you what you want to see.
No, this is part of the thread.
Probably just so many people.
This is the Roger. No, that's Roger. This is the Scott Adams thread. There's, like, I have
just
to show this to Nat. It's an
show
anime
it to
drawing.
Alex, don't bring it on the screen.
There's all kinds of.
It's inappropriate.
Oversized nipples and labia showing.
Yeah, it's like a massive.
This is the.
What do you call that?
It's anime. It's
no, but what do you call it when the. All right, doesn't matter. Anyway.
A box of cow tongues?
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus. Is that in the fucking thread? That's the top reply. Unable to find the words that accurately describe this tweet, so I have a random image on my phone. If it's lewd, I shall warn you ahead of time.
Oh, so this guy just has his stuff
random.
On his phone.
Yeah, it's just, I just have a
no,
random.
I believe it's random.
I'm sure if it's random of that kind, I'm sure you have just like several.
No, I'm just saying these are the
naked ladies.
These are the this is of all the images on his phone. Selecting a random one, the odds of that one are high. Yes, I agree with Rod. I agree with Scott in that Rod Adams. That'd be a funny mashup. It's like he's milk toast, but also pretends like he's hardcore and makes predictions. I don't know. But I agree with him. Yeah, there's no program or anything like that in the current society that will fix any of this. But I'd say let's go back. We're saying, first of all, he's your stepson.
Stepson.
Could this have something to do with it?
That's what I just said. It's just admit like you don't care enough for the.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like you. What the fuck happened with this kid? What did your wife do with this kid and his dad, and what went on there? Right.
I'm sure that's a big fucking.
So there's a whole big problem there, right?
That doesn't happen to every stepson, though.
No, it doesn't happen to every. No, not even close. But I mean, I'm saying, but what did happen here? I'm not saying generally speaking, because there's some people that are stepkids. I don't know. Whatever. But like,
his stepson overdosed on opiates.
So he wasn't a lunatic shooter. What is he talking about?
That's why I'm like, why do you think he was dangerous?
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. Maybe he was had like serious problems.
Why did you think he was going to like kill other people?
Maybe fucking Scott Adams like injected him with opiates to kill him so he wouldn't be a mass shooter. I'm sorry, I didn't even mean to say that. But
man,
does he just have this? Okay, is this like an anti-racist thing? Like he. Okay, this kid's on drugs. That means he might kill people. It's like, no, that's a sun man problem.
Maybe the kid had a lot of behavioral problems.
Like, there's like
he probably had a lot of issues. Maybe he said stuff like he wanted to kill people.
Oh, I feel bad, but.
Well, he's the one that made it a public issue.
And then you go to his Twitter page, and he's just got just a random old Dilbert strip as his cover image. Like, yep, that's the Dilbert guy. Hilarious. Funny guy.
I watched my stepson die. I was just glad he didn't take anyone else with him. What do you think of that, Dogbert?
Yeah, he knows he's going to... He also, like... The thing about Scott Adams is,
does he, like, tell the story to the lady with the triangle hair?
Well, the thing
you know
is...
You know who I mean, that character? Yeah. In this room, like,
yeah, right.
And then she's, well, like... And then she's... Is she from, like, HR? Or what does she have to say?
Well, here's the funny thing about Scott Adams.
The Captain's from Rage. I can't remember.
Is that he says this, and he knows going to spark outrage. He knows he's going to get a reaction. And it almost feels like it's cheap. It's like, here, I'm going to say something that is going to like offend very hard against basic morality. And then when people actually get mad, I'm just going to pretend like, oh, look at you plebs. I don't know. Something about that annoys me. You know what I mean? Even though he's correct. Like, you can make your point without doing that kind of shit. About how, like, there's very few actual... There's, like, actually no way to fix people once they're this broken, et cetera, technocratic programs and money from the government is not going to help, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But again, the thing is, though, but there was a time when this shit didn't happen. There was a time when we didn't have this rate of people becoming these broken people and all these problems. So if we want to think about, you know, for one individual, maybe it's too late, but is there a way, like, well, as a society, we could...
technocratic, well, it's not technocratic, but we do need a massive, large intervention, and that intervention is full-scale Nazism.
We need total change of regime and system and outlook and worldview and way of life. Obviously, liberalism is not going to provide any of these things, and nor does it want to. It's not particularly interested in it. So there's that. But this idea of the dangerous young man problem, because if we were actually going to look at dangerous young men, like, what are we going to find? And with Scott Adams, would you be willing to talk about that? I mean, Mr. Hard Hitting Guy, you want to say something that's going to cause people to get pissed off, Scott Adams? You want to say a truth? You want to say an ugly truth? This is the other thing: the pretense of speaking an ugly truth when you won't simply say a fucking obvious truth that isn't even all that ugly. It's just fucking true that, like, actually, the violence in this country is overwhelmingly done by blacks. If you want to be the ugly truth that pisses everybody off, guy, don't start talking about killing your son. Tell everybody it's blacks that do violence, Scott. Do it. I dare you. I dare you. And you know it's true. And you're fucking his analytical method of approaching things is like objective analytical method. You wouldn't be able to deny it. Like, you would not be able to tell me it was any way other than that by looking at data. The guy loves that kind of shit, right? He loves all this, oh, like, let's look at the data. Let's look at this. Fine. Yes, let's look at the data, Scott. How come there's some data points you never seem to talk about?
Let's look at table 43.
You know?
Oh, that's interesting.
See, the thing is, he would not actually credibly be able to deny this fact, which is why he's just never going to say it. So instead, like, yeah, let's create controversy by talking about killing your son.
He's also probably a victim of the meme of this... the extra layer of mental illness on top of how the Chris Rock bit about if you find a news story that somebody pushed their grandma down the stairs and killed her for a welfare check, you know that's a nigger. But if the guy cut her eyes out and wore them as earrings, you know that a white boy. Like, it's like,
right, which probably, is not true.
He's, yeah. I know, but he's, I'm saying, like, he's falling for that meme. Like, I don't even think he's considering, he's doing like the unconscious racism of low expectations. Of like, well, Sunman just, you know, they just kill each other over nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seriously mentally disturbed young white men like Bob Cremo and my stepson who do terrible things that we expect. You know, we're talking about people that we expect better of doing something like violent in any social. It's almost like he's like stuck in
that. Well, it's a Jewish meme that white people are crazy, black people are violent for money. It's not true. Black people do just as many psychotic things. Like, what about that fucking nigger housekeeper that, like, kidnapped the white boy that she was in charge of and killed him with a blowtorch? That happened several years ago. This is a long time ago. What about the couple? Remember the couple that was kidnapped by blacks on their date? They fucking held him in a house.
You don't have enough imagination to come up with stuff that blacks will do to white people.
They held him in a house for 2 days, and they wrapped him in saran wrap and were pouring bleach down their throats. Don't fucking tell me that psycho shit is only white people. I'm sorry to have to say these things. I know these are traumatic things to hear
Facebook,
about.
Or that Facebook Live, like, where they duct taped that kid.
They didn't kill him, but they tortured the autistic kid. Yeah. Like, get the fuck out of here. Niggers will torture people. Get out of here if you don't think they're capable of psychotic shit. No. Fuck you.
Well, just as a default setting, like...
But Cash Gernon!
As a default setting, niggers are disconnected from humanity. Like, everything is dehumanized. Like, humanity doesn't exist to them. They're just niggers.
Remember Cash Gernon? I couldn't watch the security footage of him walking into the room. I couldn't do it. The creeping horror of it, the dread of it. I couldn't do it. Cash Gernon was a victim.
But there's no problem. There's no problem.
But niggers don't do psycho
shit. Don't be racist.
They don't rape and murder little kids.
There's no systematic one-size-fits-all solution to this whole problem.
Dangerous young man problem.
You can't just put people on boats and send them back to a place where... I've never been.
That's the other funny thing is, if you really want to, I mean, the dangerous young man problem, like...
The dangerous son man problem. We already done
this. He's like, he said, but he's like essentially calling for fucking segregation. Put them all together and let them shoot each other. And like, that's actually...
Based.
Kind of been done in some cases. Like, it's not been done. That's just not been quite completed
enough.
We had
enough. That till the 60s, kind of.
Yeah, sort but of. Back then they weren't doing it as much.
I know. All right. Well, let's take a break here. I'm going to spend the next 3 hours uploading this first hour.
I'm sorry.
File transfer protocol. Boy.
That's actually,
you mean you want to transfer files quickly?
Secure file transfer protocol.
Hey, it's but all the same.
It shouldn't it's really
maybe
make a
maybe,
difference.
Maybe the secure is what's fucking it up.
It does a little bit. It shouldn't make a huge difference, though. But, yeah.
160 kilobytes per second.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible.
Maybe we can do something better than that. But we'll see.
Oh, I went like that, and I clicked the drop, but it didn't. There it goes.
You were listening to the Daily SOA.
This is the Merchant Minute.
From the Times of Israel, Israel's top diplomat to the U.S. Midwest revealed Tuesday that as many as 4 Jewish community members were among the 7 fatalities in the mass shooting that took place at a July 4th parade in a suburb of Chicago, committed by a transvestite with face tattoos. So it's possible that a just God exists. Maybe just don't let another Waukesha happen, kikes. You guys are the ones who turned this into a country that can't have public celebrations anymore. And from the Jerusalem Post, the director of a local synagogue said he passed out both American and Israeli flags along the North Shore parade route.
In Highland Park, he said, they prefer the Israeli flag.
You'd think conservatives would have a negative reaction to dual citizens flying a foreign country's flag on July 4th, but I guess that only applies to Mexicans. I guess members of the pedophile race are the exception there. In 2014, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency included Highland Park in an article on communities across the country that were melding Jewish pride into their ceremonies for July 4th, which that year fell on a Friday, just before Shabbat. The report captures Highland Park's sky-high levels of Jewish pride and provides yet another example of how Monday's shooting that killed at least 7 people at a July 4th parade there struck the heart of one of the country's idyllic suburban Jewish capitals. Idyllic and suburban in the same sentence. That's, McNabb's going to take issue with that. One of the 2 victims identified so far,
Jackie Sundheim,
was the B'nai Mitzvah and event coordinator for the North Shore Congregation Israel in the neighboring suburb of Glencoe. The entire North Shore region, which stretches over 20 miles along Lake Michigan, approximately from Evanston up to Lake Bluff, is heavily Jewish, and other adjacent suburbs northwest of Chicago, such as Buffalo Grove and Skokie, are known for their large Jewish populations. But Highland Park has the highest Jewish ratio of them all, and it was the original Chicago suburb that grew a substantial Jewish population in the early 20th century. So are these all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of mafia bosses and shit? A Chicago area Jerusalem, according to a 2020 study of the metropolitan Chicago area by researchers at Brandeis University and the University of Chicago, Highland Park is 50% Jewish, about 15,000 of the suburb's 30,000 residents. About 3% of the Jews in Highland Park and its surrounding towns are Israeli, the study also found.
While there are other Jewish concentrations elsewhere in the North Shore, Highland Park's still the original. Highland Park is still kind of the Mecca, or Jerusalem, if you will. Jay Takaf,
executive vice president of Chicago's Jewish United Fund Federation, said, thanks to its leading number of Jewish institutions, from camps to synagogues to a kosher butcher and other kosher restaurants, Highland Park is also still a destination for Jews throughout the North Shore, said Jay Takaf. And again, from the Jerusalem Post, a Texan drug dealer turned pastor devotes his life and millions of his followers to the Jewish people and the land of Israel. Almost 30 years ago, Pastor Larry Hutch and his wife, Pastor Tiz Hutch, why is a woman a pastor, considered quitting the ministry they spent many years building. Okay, maybe a just God doesn't exist, because, like, God, why didn't you lay it on this man's heart to stop preaching this here heretical dog shit about Israel?
I just felt like something was missing, Larry said. We had built churches all over the world in countries like Australia and America.
But then a friend recommended they visit Israel. Little did they know it would change their life and the lives of millions of Christians around the world.
My first response was, Why would I go to Israel? I thought this since in a lot of the churches there's a false teaching of Christians replacing Jews called the Great Placement or Replacement Theology.
The fuck?
What?
I came over to Israel and I started seeing and experiencing things.
According to the Larry Hutch Ministries website,
outside the ruins of an ancient synagogue in Capernaum, God spoke to him, Larry, in an appointed moment that he would teach him to reread the Bible through the eyes of a Jewish Jesus.
Larry explained to the Jerusalem Post that it meant to him,
I'm going to teach you to reread the Bible through the eyes of a Jewish Moses, a Jewish Abraham, and a Jewish Jesus, a Jewish Paul.
Jewish Paul was a dude called Saul, and he was kind of a cunt. In fact, the only Saul I can think of who's a good man is a TV character. And he's not Jewish. He then changed his whole approach toward Christianity and Judaism. The 72-year-old pastor now has millions of followers on social media and on his daily TV shows on Christian broadcasting networks around the world. Well, I'm burning sage and charging my astrology crystals to send myocardial infarction vibes your way, pastor. Just kidding. I'm praying to the saints to fucking kill you because that's less likely to be complete horseshit. And also, I think religion's main purpose is to be an outlet for Fed posting. St. Anthony, I know you're really good at finding lost things, so I beseech you, esteemed king, intercede on my behalf and find this Protestant pastor's soul and then send it to hell.
I realize that as a Christian, I've been lied to in a lot of things concerning Israel and the Jewish people, Larry added.
Oh, really? Go off about the Holocaust, king.
Oh, wait.
So much of what the Jewish people have suffered over the last few thousands of years has been because of what the church is teaching.
Based.
Their new mission from that day on, he said,
was to re-educate the church that the Jewish people and the land of the Jewish people are our brothers.
What the fuck?
And sisters, and our job is to stand with the Jewish people around the world. Our job is also to stand with the nation of Israel and to speak out wherever and whenever we can to defeat anti-Semitism.
Our job is to unquestioningly simp for people who think our Lord and Savior is boiling in semen in hell. Tea Protestants. Larry will visit Israel this week to attend an award ceremony in his honor arranged by Karen Hayasad. The organization will present him with the John Henry Patterson Guardian of Zion Award. John Henry Patterson was born into a Christian family in Ireland in 1867 and went on to command two Jewish legions that were established during World War I, which led him to become acquainted with
Zev Jabotinsky,
together with
Nahum Sokolov, Chaim Weizmann,
and Zev Jabotinsky. Patterson became a Karen Hayasad emissary to England in 1921. This award will be awarded to Larry, the New Beginnings Church, and the Larry Hutch Ministries.
We selected Pastor Larry as the recipient of this inaugural award in recognition and deep appreciation for his exemplary leadership and unwavering commitment to Karen Hayasad and the Jewish people,
Karen Hayasad said in a statement. Jews literally hate Christians like this guy more than anyone else in the world.
Pastor Larry Hutch is a true friend of the Jewish people and the state of Israel, said Karen Hayasad chairman Sam Grundberg. His contributions impact many aspects of Israeli society. Thousands of immigrants were able to fulfill their dream and immigrate to Israel thanks to Pastor Larry and his church.
Black immigrants, I hope, but I'd seriously doubt it.
No, Israel, you're our greatest ally. We would never send niggers to you. That's our punishment. God has ordained it.
We cherish and appreciate Pastor Larry's true friendship with Karen Hayasad and the people of Israel.
The award will be presented at the Knesset this week during the annual leadership conference of Karen Hayasad. The Hutch family has become totally devoted to the issue of connecting to the Jewish people and to the Jewish state.
We keep kosher in our family and we have mezuzot on our door, Larry said. We keep Shabbat because this is the Old and the New Testament.
Let me tell you something, Larry. Most of the Old Testament, most of those parables and stories, that shit never happened. Egyptian captivity, there's no fucking evidence for it. The story of Esther in the Persian Empire, no fucking evidence for it. In fact, the difference between the Old and New Testaments is largely the same as the difference between the Holocaust and the Armenian Genocide, which is to say, most of the stuff in the New Testament actually fucking happened.
We had a guy come to our house to deliver high-end meat, and he saw a mezuzah on our door. He asked, "Are you Jewish?" We tried to explain to him what our story was, and then he said, "The owner of our company is Jewish." My wife said,
"Well, if he's Jewish, how come he sells pork?"
We explained that unfortunately we can't buy this type of meat since it's not kosher. The guy came back half an hour later and said,
I called my boss in New York. He said you guys are absolutely right and that he's removing the pork out the packages, Hutch said with a laugh.
They keep kosher, okay? So not only are they just not eating shit like pork and shrimp, they are eating shit that is blessed by a rabbi. Why can't you just eat shit that's blessed by a pastor? Or a priest, my nigga. How long before you guys start emulating these people to the point that you're sucking bloody baby dicks? I have to wonder. Larry proudly mentioned that he had a long conversation with former chief rabbi of Israel, Meyer Law.
He is the leader I admire maybe more than any religious leader in the world.
The pastor quoted the rabbi, asking him at the end of their meeting,
"How do you know these things about Judaism?"
"We study this," Larry answered,
to which Law responded,
"That's because it's part of your Jewish roots."
"Absolutely, and that's what we're trying to teach the world," Larry said. "It'll be my 39th trip to Israel," Larry said proudly. "I have Christian, Jewish, and Muslim friends in Israel."
He also asked to emphasize that he is not a missionary trying to convert Jews to Christianity. Because he's not a Christian, he's actually just a fucking shill for kikes.
"Our job isn't to convert anybody. Our job is to bring the church back to loving the Torah, back to loving the Word of God, back to loving our Jewish brothers and sisters, and back to loving the biblical land of Israel. It's a full-time job."
Bruh, the church only even exists as a distinct entity from Judaism because Jews rejected your Messiah, and God consequently rejected them, and they're going to hell now. They are literally anti-Christ, and Revelation mentions the synagogue of Satan for a reason. You should stop wasting any energy on these animals. This has been understood for almost 2,000 years until your kiked Schofield Bible, the jenkum of the masses, rolled onto the scene in its hover round. From drug dealer to pastor. Before becoming a pastor, Larry was a drug dealer and a drug addict.
"I smuggled cocaine into the United States from South America. I was also using the needle cocaine and heroin."
Needle cocaine? Fuck, I didn't even know that was a thing. My mind becomes more tainted by modernity with each passing day. Yeah, let me inject all this baking soda mixed with cocaine directly into my fucking veins. I'm an intelligent person with religious insights that you need to hear. One day, he overdosed and thought that he was dying.
"I was by myself on a ranch in Colombia, South America. I called out to God, not knowing who God was. I said, 'God, don't let me die until I find out what happiness is.'"
What, it wasn't the dopamine rush from needle cocaine? After selling his drugs to an agent, he ran through different states in America until he finally settled in Texas and became a pastor. This guy's just a piece of shit who's trying a different grift now. He's like a worse version of those bald, fat manosphere retards who fucked goblins in the Philippines and now are trying to be tradcats. Larry also claimed to have possibly influenced former President Donald Trump to acknowledge Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Damn, I am not at all sorry for sending those heart attack vibes your way, fam.
"I had the privilege of being called to the White House when President Trump was together with former advisor and Middle East envoy,
Jason Greenblatt."
Greenblatt said,
"We're about to make the peace plan for the Middle East. We've got it sealed, but I just want to know, what do you think?"
I said, "Listen, we must not allow Israel to be divided." He said,
"What should we do?"
I said, "Here's my suggestion. We've already done the Taylor Force Act. We've already done the settlements. We've already done the embassy being moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem." I said, "Let's do this. Let's announce we're recognizing Israel's sovereign rights over the Golan Heights." Greenblatt said,
"Over the Golan Heights?"
I answered, "If you do that, Christians will get behind President Trump."
Greenblatt was called back to see Trump, but before going in, he made sure he understood Pastor Larry.
"No land for peace?"
Greenblatt said, according to Larry, who said he answered,
"Not one inch. That land was given by God to the Jewish people of Israel. We cannot go against what God is saying."
With the grace of God, 2 days later, President Blump announced we were acknowledging the Golan Heights as Israel. Oh, I think I see what they're doing here. They're trying to bolster the narrative that all this pro-Israel garbage is being done for the sake of Protestant Christians in America. I promise you, Greenblatt was the one in the driver's seat here. The Golan Heights wasn't a top issue for any regular white person. I don't care how Christian they were. A few years ago, Larry and his people were in touch with Karen Hayesod, an official fundraising organization for Israel with branches in 45 countries. Karen Hayesod historically raised money from Jews, but recently began also fundraising for Israel from Christians, because why not take the stupid goyim's money? According to Larry, his ministry has raised about $8 million for Israel, and a large part of that was through Karen Hayesod.
We looked for things to do in Israel, because if I can get people to give to Israel, we found out that their heart will follow their giving, he explained. For years, we've been feeding the hungry in Israel. We've been helping with B'nai Zion Hospital in Haifa. We built a bunch of bomb shelters for the children. We work with different organizations in feeding Holocaust survivors.
I just stole $100 million worth of fine art from a Polish family, but I need your help to eat, Graham. These starving Holocaust survivors can't eat.
Oh, speaking of that, Israel and Poland are attempting to mend their relations now after that row over Holocaust restitution, proving that when you tell Jews to fuck off, they still have to deal with you and play nice. In fact, they even respect you on some level when you stand up to them. There is literally every reason in the world to tell Jews to fuck off. They can't BDS you. Because if they don't have their fingers on your pulse, you could go anti-Semitic any fucking minute.
One of the main Bible prophecies is helping Jews return to the nation of Israel. So we started working with Karen Hyasod with projects such as Making Aliyah. We help settlements take over produce farms in the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria.
We help rat-faced kikes steal farms from Palestinian peasants. We are so Christ-like, you guys. Larry has recently raised a large amount of money to help Ukrainian Jews escape the deadly war and move to Israel.
When we heard about Ukraine, we immediately raised $1 million to help get Jews out of Ukraine and into Israel. At the same time, bringing Jews in from Ethiopia. We do whatever we can for the Jewish people and the land of Israel.
Well, at least we ended with a white pill. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Morakiyu, and this has been The Merchant Minute.
Bedtime yet? I was trying to look at some stuff during the Merchant Minute, and it was a mistake.
I was looking at some stuff, and my mind was blown about Margaret Sanger.
Oh, also, I was looking at stuff about Larry Hutch. This guy.
Also, for the record, the guy that's in that Merchant Minute probably had an anoxic brain injury from his drug overdose.
Well, no, I think he went to Israel and is being paid a ton of money to do this shit.
That too.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's so bad. Like, I was looking up his stuff on YouTube. Like, he puts on, like, Jewish stuff, and he does, like, Purim services and Passover services and stuff, and he's got all these Christians, like, pretending that they're Jewish, and it's just, and everything is about Israel. Like, everything on the site is focused on Israel. Imagine this. Like, you are supposed to be doing a church, like a religion thing, like a thing where people are going to, like, save their soul and get in touch with the Holy Spirit or something. And you're just doing propaganda for a foreign state. And he even goes to other countries and does it. It's like the worst of the Christian Zionists ever. Christian Zionism has to be, like, destroyed. Like, very fast.
I was digging around just a little bit on Margaret Sanger, and she opened this clinic in Harlem, and she secured funding from the Julius Rosenwald Fund.
Oh, God.
It almost sounds like Jews were trying to limit the African-American population in New York.
Yeah, I'm sure they were at one point, and this was...
What did Phyllis Schlafly have to say about that?
Well, Jews didn't take this hard turn against race ideology until after World War II.
Phyllis Schlafly! Schlafly. I don't know the fuck. I don't know how you say her name is.
Schlafly. Jews aren't stupid. They got somebody here who's going to reduce the nigger population in the place they all like to live.
Yeah, the place that is the seat of their power.
It didn't work.
But think about the outrageousness of, like, they actually get, like, white people to fund them. It's actually disgusting. Larry Hutch, there's a particular place in hell for this guy. Like, what he's doing. He is getting, like, gullible white people to give their money, which they don't have a lot of. The people that go to his church, listen to him, are not particularly wealthy, to give up whatever they've got for a country that's already getting, like, billions and billions in aid and all of this shit. I found a guy, another Christian guy, who actually is... So he's like breaking this down. He says anatomy of a Larry Hutch Moedim scam. I don't know what that is, but I'm watching this video later to find out what a Moedim scam is. I'm sure that this
is this guy's silly.
He's like doing an Orthodox or a Catholic thing.
Oh, is that an Orthodox something? Like a flag with like the PX? What is that?
That's like a Christian thing. Every church has that, but like you might indicate that he's a more traditional sect.
I thought he was a pirate.
No, that's a
looks like a pirate flag.
No, that's a Christian thing. The P over the X. I don't remember what it means. Something in Latin. It means something in Latin. But they used to have that in the Episcopal Church. They would have those on.
Is it Pius Part 10?
No.
No. There's 10 Pius, right?
That might be what that guy is, actually. However, that PX is a symbol I've seen before. That could be the St. Pius X symbol. I don't know.
Is that part of... Yeah, is it? Isn't Pius X the...
That's like the super trad.
Isn't it like the set of vacantists?
Yeah, the set of vacantists.
Super trad cast?
Super trad.
Yeah, they're like set of vacantists.
It's like the final boss of the trad cast?
Yeah. Like, no, it's just like instead of super.
There's just actually even fewer of them.
Instead of super tramp, super trad. Or super drag.
When I was young.
I prefer super drag.
They told me popular. The Pope was so traditional.
Wait, was that super drag?
I'm doing Super Tramp. You know,
I don't really know Super Tramp. Like, if it came out, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that shit.
It's also theological. Like, the logical song?
It's making me want to throw up, yeah. Super Drag is much better. Did they do that song popular? A mom for the
I'm about to look it up. I don't think
popular.
So.
Oh, yeah, I remember that song.
Actually, I'm not sure.
That would have been way
too... No, that was, like, way too ironic.
No, Super Drag is... there's, like, an annoying mouth noise in that song.
Oh, man, it's going to be really hard to find this Super little drag? Song history here.
Come on, they only have one hit. What is it?
Okay, monogram that looks like a combination of a P and an X is actually the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ, Chi and Rho. Symbol is used by early Christians and is attributed to the Roman Emperor Constantine. So, yes, that PX symbol has been around. I wouldn't be surprised if they also use it for the Pius X, although that would seem to be kind of sacrilegious.
Who sucked out the feeling? Who sucked out the feeling? And I'm telling you, there's some weird mouth noise he makes when he says, who sucked out
the feeling? Not a surf.
Not a surf did popular.
But... To find that song, I had to type in the lyrics, because, of course, you know what's going to have you type in popular song.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, sucked out was the one hit from Super Drag. Sorry about that.
You know, it's kind of interesting.
1995.
That's what's early. Kind of interesting? We're talking about different things here.
I didn't have a driver's license yet. I couldn't drive around and listen to that song.
Fucking band had one single, and that was it.
Right. So I was clicking around. I was trying to follow, starting from Twitter, there was like a Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein thing that started. And, of course, it's a web of .coms redirect to a Telegram channel. So I get a Telegram channel in my browser that doesn't have the post. I was like, because it starts with a screenshot that has a URL on it. So I'm copying the URL into my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to, there's like a web of like three sites that I've never heard of before and don't trust. They look like, one of them is like defycablenews.com. That's the one that redirects to their Telegram channel if you type that in. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, this is really good. So like, here's this really like, and I'm not trying to throw really that much shade. It's just like the Ghislaine Maxwell, essentially the meme is like she's the first like sex trafficker to have ever been sentenced for sex trafficking, but there were no, without any clients. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first, like, has this ever happened before? Like, you get, like, nobody actually, like, she facilitated crimes, but what, no one ever actually committed them? We can't arrest anybody?
Is this like arguments being made in her defense? I know there's like a subculture.
Not at all. Total opposite.
Okay. All right.
The meme is that like she's been convicted of
who else was involved?
Convicted of facilitating crimes, yet no one has been indicted to be like crimes. As a client of hers. Where's the client?
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But like you go into this and it's just this rabbit hole of like fake shitty websites with Jewish names on them here and there and eventually they're making a big deal out of federal judge, this is from lawandcrime.com, a Dan Abrams production.
Mm-hmm.
Abrams. Federal judges order release of Jeffrey Epstein's civil settlement at issue in lawsuit against Prince Andrew. And this was originally the fake screenshot it originated from, Libs of TikTok. Federal judge ordered Jeffrey Epstein documents to be unsealed. Holy shit! We're going to get the client list. Like, no.
No.
By the time you get to the end of the rabbit hole. This was posted on December 29th of 2021, and it's something having to do with a lawsuit that was sealed in 2009.
I remember this. I remember when this happened.
They're throwing around fake news that this has to do with the client list. We're getting where it lets go. It's like nothing's being done, and you're being egged on by all these weird Jewish-sounding reporters. Okay, maybe Frank Bojazzi's not Jewish. I don't know. Adam Klasfeld is one of them. Dan Abrams. So, I mean, it's just like, oh, hour one's up. I can post it. It's just crazy. And I feel so, it's like, this is such a good smokescreen operation. Like,
yeah.
You can't possibly get anywhere talking about this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when they sort of like conditionally released, because of course, like Epstein's conviction and settlement that he gave in like 2009, of course, this was then like covered up, right? Courts always do this thing with Epstein stuff where they seal shit right away. Like as soon as it starts, the judge like seals it. Why are you doing that? Why? Why are you sealing it?
To protect his dignity.
Well, they say it's like because it's shocking, you know, offend people. I'm like, dude, shit, if everything offend. Like, first of all, people are both constantly offended and incapable of offense. Like, show us what's going on.
I live in America.
Well,
I live in America.
The thing about Epstein stuff is like you have like such selective outrage and offense. It's like. Because the thread in there from Libs of TikTok, it's like it's back and forth with like a libtard posts a photograph of Trump Epstein, a conservatard posts a pic of Clinton.
Why don't you guys
it's like, what do you not see the overarching problem? It doesn't matter what party you're from.
The fact that both of these guys were partying with Epstein doesn't. You're not seeing a holistic issue here.
And Libs of TikTok denominator here.
Yeah, right. Well, the common denominator is Epstein.
Yeah.
Common denominator is the Jew child trafficker.
Epstein and Gilead.
And, you know, of course, Libs of TikTok has a personal interest in covering this stuff up or smokescreening this stuff. Poor Libs of TikTok. Oh, what a victim. Remember when Libs of TikTok was, like, victimized? That was so very sad.
Because it was revealed that an Orthodox kike was running it?
It was awful. No, it was... Actually, that's what stopped the victimization.
Oh yeah.
No, like that's the funny thing is that like
you have revealed my greatest power.
What's interesting is that like suddenly it's funny because it's like, okay, so Libs of TikTok gets a visit from Taylor Lorenz, who I think was the heel in this story. I think Jews wrote a script and Taylor Lorenz was the heel here. She doesn't know it because she's a fucking stupid bimbo, but whatever. So she's like hunting down Libs of TikTok, finds out who it is, goes to the house. First of all, how'd you find out? I think that you were just told. I think everyone knew and you were told. And you're told to go do this and go interview this person, do a trap interview. And then they got to go and cry tears and play victim. And all Tucker Carlson's like, oh, these terrible people. Where were all the people rushing to the defense of Libs of TikTok when like every fucking white nationalist and alt-righter was doxxed and like lost jobs and shit? Where were you when that happened? Oh, right. You were like cheering it on.
Right. You liked it.
You liked it or you were silent.
Where were you?
Those weren't Orthodox Jews.
Right, yeah, no, the Orthodox. Where it was Larry Hutch is like personally like gonna like kill Taylor Lorenz now because like of daring to touch an Orthodox Jew, like, yeah, that
someone
fucking shit.
Fake internet screenshots, and I have this idea. So the Georgia Guidestones been destroyed. I want to create the Borzoi Guidestones. Erect these things, and each one will have a fake internet screenshot on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping it would just rip down the Hollywood sign and replace it with the letters that spell out touch grass.
I was hoping it would be Borzoi's most scathing tweets, like, all internet right-wingers are face blind, is like number one.
At least I recognize that I'm face blind.
Yes.
I'm not face blind, I'm just Jew blind. I look at Bob Cremo.
I'm nose blind.
I look at Bob Green. Yeah, I look at Bob Creamer's dad. I'm just like,
I mean, literally, like, I can't.
You can't see your own.
My sense of smell is gone.
Oh, you can't smell anything. Yeah, right.
Fucking COVID. It's fucking destroyed my ability to smell. Yeah. But yeah, rather be nose blind and face blind. I'm actually nose aware. On people's faces, I look for the nose. Yeah. Anyway, Bob Cremo. Ducks on the ground. No one knows what that reference is.
Even the defendants' inconsistent accounts. These stories have really nothing. There's no new info in here.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine since it came out in 2021.
Patriot Fetch. I'm on patriotfetch.com.
Patriot Fetch? That sounds.
It's like, I mean, that's like literally like there's like go fetch, Patriot. Here, go bring it back to me. Like a good little guy. Patriot's in control. Of the Jewish fight. He's like playing frisbee with the yarmulke. Go fetch, Patriot. Go fetch. Bring it back to the Rabbi. Huh?
Did COVID cover up Epstein stuff?
Oh,
man.
But they did COVID because they thought they were going to die of MRSA. And you were the worst carrier, the U.S. public, and everybody around the world, too. It's funny how much anger and pushback that still gets.
What's that? Oh.
The idea that the Jews that run the world thought they were going to get sick, so they shut it down at great expense.
Yeah, yeah.
Used the shutdown to shuffle around capital and take over a lot, do a lot of evil shit, and then eventually turned it back on.
And also just, like, used it to have you doing dumb politics that don't, like...
All these things yeah. that they got out of it. It's great.
I actually have often wondered, like, it works so well as a political distraction for the right, is like a harmless political distraction for the right wing. Like, why not do it again? Like, they might do it again. Like, I think you will see if we start getting traction. We're actually starting to get traction now. We're definitely developing traction now. I wouldn't be surprised if they just tried to reactivate this stuff. Who knows? Maybe, but I hope not. I also think that any op that you have to do a second time, it kind of doesn't quite hit like it did the first time.
Yeah, you got to come up with a different op.
Plus, like, people just aren't going to do it. Like, that's the other thing, is like the genuine frustration with lockdowns and rules and regs about it is at the point where, like, it's just not, people just won't do it. So, yeah, I don't know.
I can't make a prediction if they were going to try this again, like, what would actually go down? Because it seems like it's every institution that it matters that you need to, like, go visit is run by people that are compliant. So I can't even say. If they say, all right, everybody mask on, it's like when your local hardware store maybe won't enforce it.
Yeah, like local areas will just not. But yeah, I mean, whatever, who knows? I just don't see them doing it again.
I mean, that's the problem, is the total institutional takeover of Jews.
It's an example of a problem, I guess.
Well, it's what they can do with the power that they shouldn't have.
Right.
Because they're Jews. You don't understand.
That's them taking the power that just took it last week.
No, they have it. This is what they did with it. They had absolutely no regard for your well-being. None whatsoever. Which is why they struck this compromise where they kind of had a lockdown, but not really. Mm. Right? It's like, do we really want to shut down every pizzeria in the country? No. But let's tell them they should wipe down the pizza box with Clorox. Okay, that's like a compromise. You can still get pizza. You know, it was just very strange. And then it's like, we'll put out a vaccine. We'll make it super mandatory. The vaccine's untested. So what? It's just for the goyim. Let's put it out there.
Here's the thing, though. This country, even if it wanted to have a coherent response to something, it couldn't
that's
do it.
I'll
hammer this home. I've been taking some continuing education in order to maintain my EMS certification, so I don't know why I'm doing that, but I am. And one of the things they were discussing with mass casualty incidents is if you've got a disaster plan, you should probably include Uber in your plan.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
See if you can mobilize Uber to help you transport patients.
Like, order a bunch of Ubers to the disaster zone and hope that they show up to the disaster zone? The gig workers?
See, this to me is a far more interesting take, because it's not so much like, oh no, they can shut things down. Like, who cares? Like, my thing is, like, what if happens if they need to what happens? First of all, like, right. You could conceive of a time when you would need to be able to do that, like a real pandemic or a real actually contagious disease or some kind of disaster.
That's the problem with no legitimacy.
This country cannot do that. It's not even legitimacy. They just can't do it.
Well, they can never convince anybody that anything is actually real.
There's that. That's a big problem.
That is the lack of legitimacy.
They don't have the moral legitimacy to do anything.
Like, you give me an order from the state, and I'm like, huh, what's your angle?
Yeah, no, fuck you. Yeah, exactly. You know? Right.
Well, I was talking to another guy who was taking a similar training, different end of the spectrum. And he was saying that rather than have potable water and store it somewhere, like on a government piece of property, what they were instructed to do, the plan was, well, you should contract this out to the private companies in the area. Find some way to get the market to provide you a solution to this.
Well, have them bring you all their Poland Spring or some shit like that? Like, yeah.
Sell it all to Hunter Biden.
All the water cooler jugs, have them bring them to you.
Yeah. Write them a check to bring you all of those.
Yeah,
because it would be it just would be reasonable to have the government actually do anything.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. That, so it's sort of like, one, the government doesn't have the moral legitimacy to do these kinds of massive things, and two, they also logistically are actually incapable of it.
Also, you remember
they can only cause problems.
Remember that? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Remember all the hysteria about FEMA? FEMA is contracted to American Medical Response, which is a private ambulance company, one that's been embroiled in tons of Medicare fraud over the years. So yet again, we're even subcontracting FEMA to the free market.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so you mean I might get to go to like a private camp?
You'll probably
you go to a capitalist camp. That's why it's okay.
And
you can tell that to the FEMA camp people. No, don't worry. Those are being run by a private company.
They are.
That's even more Jewish than a communist camp.
Oh, in that case, like, show me the way. Like, I'm happy to step, because I'm sure it's obviously a private company can handle putting people in fucking camps better than only the Nazis had known this. Take care of, actually, it was funny, not the Nazis also, like, subcontracted out to private contractors, like, to build the ovens and stuff.
You're going to be in a private camp. There's going to be Poland spring water. They're going to bring you Domino's, maybe Subway. I don't know. The Subway employees are still alive. They might bring you some Subway. Oh. And then the Subway employees are dead from the niggers, not from the natural disaster.
Wow, look at that shit.
I saw that?
Sorry, I just had this react.
Some architecture.
Fucking, yeah, we should comment on this.
This is some French architecture right here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think there's like a hint of like a classical old world style here, but the modern facades are kind of... You do see, like, the wrought iron gate.
Yeah, that's a very American...
I like the wrought iron. It's black. That's kind of cool.
Wrought iron gate. But well, then I mean, you see it's sort of a mixture of the classical and
part
the
of
modern.
The problem is that it's black. I mean... Oh!
Wee, wee, wee.
Maybe it's not black wrought iron.
Is there,
it's like green.
Is there like the looks of concern in these faces that like police that might show up or?
No, I was thinking more about like I guess it's the time of year, but I was gonna say it seems like there's not enough vegetation, but it looks like it's just winter, so the leaves aren't on the trees because you beautify that little. You could possibly beautify that little, maybe make it feel a bit more homey, you know. But. Yeah, I do see some, you know, it's not totally bad because, you know, there is this mix
really
of old and new.
What's interesting is there's actually, it's not a chain pharmacy that's in the background. That looks like a local pharmacy owned by
interesting.
A family or something, yeah.
And then this is right underneath it.
Is that the French football team or something?
French football.
Yeah, it's just all, we should, dude.
Nigga, 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 nigga,
go look at the American team. It's no different. The difference is... Okay,
it's a little more shocking that it's France, that's all.
I'll tell you the difference. I'll tell you the difference between the American and the French football teams.
Where's my bats
or
in
soccer
the barbell?
Teams.
Where's my bats in the barbell drop, goddammit?
Yeah, yeah.
Finder. Where she says nigga, nigga, nigga,
the difference
nigga.
Is that in France, those are straight African niggers. Yeah. Over here, they're like these mixed race, mystery meat. Like light. Everyone's like this weird light brown shade. Like that's not entirely clear what the fuck race they are. At least those are archetypal nigger niggers. Like, in America, you get these fucking monstrosities, mixed-race monstrosities. Mm. Like, it's like, what are you? What the fuck are you? And America, you know...
What are you?
I'm Sun Man.
We did this on Sun
Man. You ruined it. You couldn't hear the joke?
I'm Sun Man.
What are you? I'm Sun Man. Shit. There wasn't a Sun Man in like the Moon Man thing. It was like Star Man and Cloud Man. God, I wish they had done a Sun Man.
I am the Sun Man. Oh, fighter of the Moon Man.
House of the Rising fighter Sun the Man. Moon. Like, did we do that one already?
House of the Rising Sun.
The Animals.
There is a house. Rikers Island.
No, it's in New Orleans.
Oh, all right.
It's filled with Sun Men.
Yeah, you're right. Rikers isn't filled with Sun Men anymore. They just
I've been to
out.
Fucking New Orleans, trust me. That fucking place. Oh, my God. It's like an African city. It just looks like, feels like you're in Africa. You're like, oh, tropical surroundings. Niggers everywhere. Okay, am I in the Congo? Oh, no, New Orleans. Okay.
Yes. You know, I just thought of a project. I mean, there's stuff we can talk about without going on to this tangent that just occurred to me, but do we know anything about... About Gunzo Abe, other than he's possibly Italian with a name like that?
Yeah, Gunzo Abe.
Abe. Are we? I mean, I know like I'm leaning towards celebrating because he you know, Assad, he got the blessings of Assad, which is why he's going.
When Gunzo Abe does like, "Hi, you doing?"
Hi,
you doing? Oh.
I'm sorry. Did I do the thing about the Glenn Hirsch on the show? Or did I do it?
You did it on the prep.
Yeah. I did it on the prep.
Okay. Yeah. So Gunzo Abe. He tweeted at some point that Assad must go, and Assad said, "Who must go?" And now Gunzo Abe has been shot.
Yeah.
With a makeshift.
Assad took two yesterday. He took two. He took so Boris
it's like
Johnson.
A makeshift black powder.
Yeah, it was like a makeshift shotgun. Like the
blunder,
dude, like literally
blunderbuss.
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 A blunderbuss. Wow.
Sure.
That's fucking badass.
It's a blunderbuss.
Blunderbuss.
Except it didn't seem like he blundered.
An electrical igniter to ignite the powder rather than percussive. And just
that takes a lot.
He had to make you can't even apparently get shells in Japan, so he had to make his own like ammunition somehow.
That is an artisanal weapon. They should put that in a museum.
Like a wooden, it had a wooden handle.
Did he actually have to get like the sulfur and the saltpeter and carbon? Like he had to collect. He had to like mix his own powder too.
I
would imagine.
I don't know. Like, well,
this barrel has been folded 77 times.
But he went up.
They don't even have guns
apparently,
like that anymore.
And apparently,
they shouldn't have had guns like that for another century. Sorry.
Apparently, like the gunshot was so startling and unexpected that the first shot missed, and like Ginzo's security team
didn't know,
didn't do anything. So he had so he moved in closer and fired a second time.
That is kind of funny.
And that's
my sweet summer friend.
And then that, and then that was the kill shot.
If you're in America, everybody knows right away. That's a gun down. Everyone down. Like, I guarantee you, American Secret Service would be like, gun, and they'd be all on top of, like,
they
right just, away.
They had no fucking, they're like,
what is that?
What the fuck is that?
Someone shot a firework?
It's car backfiring?
God, what's that like to hear a loud bang and not assume it's gunfire?
I don't know. Even when it's not, I assume it is, even where I live. I'm like, well, a lot of times I hear gunfire where I live.
I hear it, I'm like,
this is people are just shooting, though.
I'm like, that's not at me, right? And I just go about my business.
No, they're not. That's all. Either hunting or target shooting, yeah.
Like, I hear it all the time. Target.
So he's dead.
Or shooting at a squirrel or something.
Didn't Stryker had a thing about him being
He just did one post saying he's a neoliberal shitbag.
Stryker's
which
like,
indicates, of course, that China and Russia probably did the assassination. I'm not saying that.
That's the thing. I don't know what kind of faction this guy could have been with that killed Abe. Because he's not.
Because
he's not the PM anymore.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I don't mean because he's dead. I mean, he already wasn't the PM. He was running for another. For a parliamentary seat or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you something that I heard, a rumor I heard. I don't know if it's true, can't verify, but I'm going to tell everybody it anyway just to spread this information. A rumor I heard is that actually, apparently, the guy that killed him is like quoting BAP and shit like that.
So he's gay and Jewish?
Romanian. But whatever.
Oh, no, a Romanian can't be Jewish.
But I could see... Okay, here's the thing. I could see a Japanese guy looking at, like, BAP and thinking, like, okay, that's kind of cool, and not getting all the shit about it that's fucking stupid and gay. Like, from... That we understand. Not picking up on everything about that.
Yeah, whatever.
But I don't know. That's just what I heard. It could be wrong. It could be people saying that as a meme.
I refuse to believe... BAP is influential enough to have somebody kill for him.
I don't even be for him.
Just kill with his like ideas.
That sort of thing. Don't quote BAP.
Yeah, it's very cringe, but I'm we could be falling for a meme here, so I want to be very
Everything's a meme. I don't know anything about this. Like I said.
I just heard that.
I'm going to go with Stryker. If Stryker says this is good, then Stryker's like always...
He didn't say he's good. He just said like the guy's a shitbag. Like,
yeah.
You should have quoted Sam Hyde.
Mm.
We're just gonna kill him. They already did kill him.
He should have worn like a Roman centurion, like a stuffed like Roman centurion outfit. That would have been hilarious.
Mm.
That would have been funny. If he's doing it for a meme.
Oh yeah, you shoot him and you're like, "What's going on, big guy?"
That's what you say as you walk up to him. Say it before you shoot him.
No, after the shot.
No, you think,
"What's going on, big guy?"
Or you retard!
They call me Peanut Arbuckle. They call me Doorway. They call me... I like that he did the improv and they left the one like stinker in there. They call me Doorway.
Because
He's looking at the doorway. He couldn't think of another joke. Then the other thing. So Boris Johnson, recipient of Assad's blessings. He is resigning. I can't think of any other reason other than Assad doesn't like him. So there's like, why would you resign as Prime Minister of the UK? The obvious answer is Bashar Assad said you had to. And since he's in charge, that's just that's what you're gonna have to do, Boris. Bojo. See you later, Bojo.
Well, I'm glad he can focus his time on more important things like drinking.
Pronouns was were. Boris. Mike's answering.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at stuff. So yeah, Schrager actually basically expanded it. Remember the shoe? Remember the shoe incident?
Oh yes, the eating and dessert. See, so, that is what had me inclined to like be sympathetic to this guy because that is so terrible. But if you think about it,
Didn't he do it? Why didn't he say no?
Well, you figure like what does the gun to his head to make him do that? Because my thing is like a Jap's not just going to do that. They must have something. And we're talking about kikes here.
Well, so the gun. I remember kikes in America. To his head was.
It was. Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
The gun to his head was Japanese exports of cars to the United States.
There you go.
It was basically he was wining and dining Benjamin. He went to Israel
right.
to wine and dine Benjamin Netanyahu because Trump was making noise about shutting down fucking imported cars from Japan, and that would fuck the Japanese to do that. So he goes and he meets with the boss of America, which is Benjamin Netanyahu, and Benjamin Netanyahu says, "Here, Nip, eat from this shoe, and maybe we won't shut down your ability to export your cars to the United States." So, that's what that was all about.
Yeah. So that's what had me lean towards the poor guy.
Yeah. But no, he's a piece of shit. He did the bit of calling for the ouster of Assad, and you know, you again do that at your own risk, people. Like
he
you
said
know,
that a government of the people should be installed. I'm like, excuse me, what do you think the Assad government
that's
is?
That's what it is. Like he would win.
Assad is the people.
If they had an election and he won, would you accept it? No. So like whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Long live.
I feel like because I've always been a supporter of Assad, I'm going to live forever now.
You know, I always have this feel that like something, some higher power is always watching over me. Like even when I do something really stupid and I come out unscathed. And I know now that.
It's Bashar Assad.
It's Bashar Assad. That's right. That higher power.
Yeah. If you endorse him, like you become.
Hitler, forgive me.
Yeah.
I still believe in you, but Bashar still walks this earth and is a man of great power.
Right.
And he protects me.
Well, he's like single-handedly destroying the neoliberal world order.
He protects me from myself.
Yeah.
And others. And the neoliberal world order.
Right. Well, he's just being instrumental in its downfall, which is great.
Mm.
But, yeah, so but there's really no reason to lament Shinzo Abe.
Here's what I find interesting. For how many years have we been doing the Sam Hyde was the shooter meme?
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been around? It's still going.
It's been going.
I got to tell you, I was feeling played yesterday when, I don't know, they were just giving a Shabu Hyde. Like, they're giving weird, like Japanese, like, Sam Hyde names. I was like, all right.
Well, Sam Hyde himself told me, like, 5 years ago he was kind of sick of it.
Well, didn't he get a call on one of these things? Because, like, back when like, well, the news didn't
the
really
result
know it was
of
a
this
meme,
is that Sam.
They actually asked him, what's going on, big guy?
Well, the result of this meme is that he could actually go and do a mass shooting.
Oh, don't say shit like that.
I'm not saying. God. I'm not saying he should or would. I mean, it's a joke. First
and
of all,
I mean, there's a truthfulness to it that's very funny.
And like, he just wouldn't get caught because no one would take it seriously.
We're not endorsing this. It's just
I'm not endorsing it. It's a funny joke.
It's kind of like how I was talking. I was talking.
One man that could do it.
I was talking to
He could plausibly say that someone was dressed up like him that did the shooting.
I was going to say, so I learned from Mr. Medeker. Mr. Medeker got swatted recently. Okay.
What happened with that? I heard
nothing. But when he on his stream, as I saw the clip where he comes back, where he's just kind of chuckling about it, he actually says, you know, you can call in your local law enforcement. You can call their local non-emergency number. Tell them that you're like an internet person, you're doing a stream, and then I'm not planning on going on a rampage right now. If anything gets called in, it's most likely a prank. And that they told him that if he hadn't done that, the response might have been a lot more serious. So I'm thinking like, Mr. Medeker could just like have a meth lab and hostages, and all he's like, oh, sorry. You can get away with anything now if you just say, oh, it's probably just a prank call, SWAT team. There's nothing illegal happening here.
I've actually heard of this before, and I've heard people that have done this before.
I thought to I thought back to like the Silence of the Lambs, like Clarice Starling shows up at Buffalo Bills. I was like, oh, is this one of those internet pranks?
Is this like a great big fat meme?
Is this a great big fat prank? And then like that's how the movie ends. Like
great
just,
big fat gay.
He just gets away with it. He's like, oh, I didn't realize you were a live
streamer. Sorry, I didn't realize you were a live streamer. Yeah,
you're
now you can just commit crimes.
You're a live streamer. Right,
you can just stockpile weapons in your house and shit, but like
I won't kill you now.
I would say I've heard of this before, of people doing this, saying like, listen, I'm like a controversial personality, and I wonder if they want to like come to your house and like check you out to make sure that that's like legit. You could also be like, I'm white.
Then they're like, oh, okay, we'll
now we'll kill you. We'll literally kill you.
We'll send several niggas over.
Spencer had to do that at one point, right? Like he was.
I believe he had at one point said that he had developed like a relationship with the police in Alexandria because of how often there was disturbances outside of his house.
That's because isn't that just because they were like drunken?
Well, they also knew. Yeah, well, there were drunken parties, but there was also like libtards were bugging him a lot. So the other thing was his address became known to them, and in fact it got to the point where if the police actually had their eye on it constantly, and if shit started going down, they would call him and tell him, we are noticing a disturbance forming outside of your residence, you might want to stay inside.
Well, you're the police, why don't you do something about that?
Yeah, why don't you actually do something?
Until something really drastically bad happens, we're kind of powerless. Yeah. We're not a security force here.
But if somebody had tried to swat
we're the police.
Him,
we're here to mop up after the terrible thing has happened. If you're lucky. What's that?
Should I call the cops?
So if something bad happens, should I call the police then?
Probably not.
No. Actually, no. No, you just done. You're actually kind of screwed. We just thought we'd let you know.
Should I call Blackwater? you could pay them to watch your address. I'm sure it's a little expensive.
I don't think you could have afforded it.
Well, I think that's the point. I think anybody can explore. All right, we're just going to Blackwater watch my.
Yeah. Speaking of calling Blackwater.
Oh, no.
If someone had tried Blackwater? To swat that address, they wouldn't have done it. Like, they would have known.
What's happening now, Skype? Okay.
Oh, this shit.
Oh, is this like they're literally like walking around town looking for the Emmett Till witness woman?
So they're stalking somebody.
Which is fine.
With guns.
You know. It's
with
just,
guns?
It's Black Panthers. They have guns.
Oh, the Black Panthers, yeah. Dozens in Raleigh searching for a woman.
It in the article, but they've been marching around with guns.
We have video of them?
Unfortunately, the videos are able to find. We're on Telegram.
All these videos are just them like flapping their guns.
And deal with the present. As it relates to
you might get lucky in this one, maybe.
Crimes against humanity, crimes against individuals who have sacrificed their life for us. I represent the local organization of Mississippi, and also I represent the Jackson Association of Black Social Workers. And also I represent all of the citizens in this lovely state of Mississippi who wants justice, who wants equality. We're here today to talk about
it's 15 minutes of a nigger talking.
I don't need to hear that. So that's the woman then? That's Emmett Till. Okay, that's that weird picture.
Well, that's the picture that weird where he looks like a child. Well, they even did that back then.
Yeah, they were doing that stuff even back
Carolyn
then.
Carolyn Bryant Donham.
Yeah, we've talked about this, how
the demonstrators marched inside a senior living facility, which prompted Raleigh police to respond to the scene. Oh, I thought they were just being allowed to do this. Donham accused 14-year-old Emmett Till of whistling at her in a store. I mean,
Yeah,
that's already like they're already
they're already like, slanting that. That's not dialing exactly. That one back. Yeah, he was accused of sexually assaulting her.
Oh, dude, check out this funny quote. I understand you have dementia, but at what point do you say enough is enough? And at what point do you say I have to hold myself accountable regardless of the consequence? What? Wait. If you've got dementia, you're not going to be. This is
67 years later. An arrest warrant was recently found in the basement of the Left Fork Clinic from Green. And an arrest warrant for her?
Wait, can you read this whole thing, please, so I can understand what's going on?
Till was kidnapped from his bed, tortured and shot. The fan from the cotton gin was tied around his neck with barbed wire before he was tossed.
No, I'm saying
this
stuff about the arrest warrant.
Donham's husband at the time, Roy Bryant, and his half-brother, J.W. Millen, were arrested and later acquitted.
Yeah.
67 years later, an arrest warrant for Donham was recently found in the basement of Left Fork County Courthouse, or is it LaFleur? How do you say that?
Whatever.
In Greenwood, Mississippi.
Okay, so a 67-year-old arrest warrant for this woman was found, supposedly.
I mean, is that kind of like a It's kind of like we just found.
This kind of sounds like.
Yeah, we just found this inventory manifest that shows.
Yeah, just found. Just had a mesh column on the bottom.
Mesh column.
Right. Yeah.
It's handwritten.
But the other thing is, like, even if so, obviously that warrant's no longer valid. That warrant was never executed, and like maybe it just was also filed away. Like, is there other paperwork there that says like this warrant's been rescinded or whatever? Because once they got her husband and his half-brother, or whatever, her husband and half-brother, her husband and his friend that did it, once they got them arrested and put them on trial, and they were found not guilty, case is over. Sorry. And so they're really mad because they made this big case out of Emmett Till, but they've never had a conviction on it. And they're saying, like, this woman, they've refocused their attention on this woman because she's the only one still alive. The others are all dead. So as a result, they're like, if we're going to get an arrest, if we're going to get some kind of, because they're very into this. Jews are very much interested in this. Blacks, they can string them along. They wouldn't have done this on their own. But like in the idea of like getting some kind of an official thing, like remember, even in the 1980s, Jews were pestering the state of Georgia over like pardoning. But they didn't even want a pardon of Leo Frank, which they ultimately got a pardon of Leo Frank. They wanted the sentence vacated. I don't know if they've gotten that yet. They might have. But they certainly have gotten a bunch of posthumous stuff, you know, saying this or that or whatever about Leo Frank. I think they maybe actually did get the sentence vacated. I have to look it up again. But they were lobbying the state of Georgia for this up until, like, the 1980s. And if they didn't get the sentence vacated, they're probably still asking for that. So they will do this stuff forever. So their point is, like, this Carolyn Bryant is the only one still alive from the Emmett Till case, and we, before she dies, we want to have her like frog march in handcuffs and found guilty of some crime. And apparently she's suffering from dementia. She's like elderly, suffering from dementia in this old folks home now, and they want to do this to her. And it's just like, fuck you people. Additionally, there was that thing we covered with that author. Like, man, all this stuff is on older shows and I can't remember all the names involved. That author who wrote a book where he claimed that she actually told him that she lied under oath. He says in his book, it came out in like 2008, where he got an interview with her. He's writing about the whole thing. It was like a white libtard. And he says, like, oh, yeah, she told me that she lied under oath and that Emmett Till actually didn't do anything to her. And she said
But I didn't record it or write it down at the time.
And then, yeah, he said he didn't have a recording and he never wrote it down amongst his notes. And then when they contacted the FBI had to actually close the case because he didn't have a recording. He didn't have it written down in his notes. And the notes he did provide were, like, from later on. Like, were from, like, right before, like very much before, like, the actual thing was open. So he then, like, forged some notes at a later date. They weren't from the date that he was talking to her. So he had nothing. And then when they went and talked to her, she said, no, I never said that. And they had no evidence that she did. So they had to shut down the case. And this caused butthurt, like, a few years ago. So here we are again. Like, once again, they're harassing this old woman over this thing. Woman who never killed anybody, by the way. If you think those two men murdered this nigger kid, well, I'm sorry. That happened and they're dead and that's just how it is. Like, bad things happen all the time. Where's the justice for all the fucking white people that are getting killed? It's not happening, so fuck off. I don't give a shit about Emmett Till.
These demonstrators are funny. How can you eat? How can you exist knowing you got the blood of a child on your hands? Time to face your demons. Come on out. It's like, yeah, you.
Well, how do you shut the fuck up?
Definitely are demons. Like, yeah, come out and face these demons. These, like, nigger demons that have been
saying you're demons. All right,
fuck come to face your demons. Yes, the demons is the crowd of niggers.
I doubt that this woman actually has demons about this.
Well, no, they're the demons.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I know. But it's how about you just leave an old woman alone? Like, let it go. Like, do you know? It's like, you know, blacks. I just can't. Take it seriously that you give a shit when a black person dies. I just don't. You think you're getting something out of this?
I can't take it seriously because of how many times I've seen videos of black mothers talking about their dead youngins. They're not crying.
I want to know.
They
what
don't
the,
give a fuck.
I want to know what the details.
It's a weight off their back. It's like a. Listen, get a lottery if you're a black mom and you're like problem. What is it? Young like. Disturbed young man or what was the phrase that Scott Adams was using?
I can't remember.
The disturbed young man problem or whatever. If your disturbed young man gets killed by the cops, that's called the ghetto fucking lottery, dude. Like, they don't give a fuck. They're like, good, now he can't abuse me and I get money from the government. Win-win.
Yep.
It's to get a lottery. Every black family is hoping that their son teen gets killed by the cops.
While relying upon a 67-year-old warrant, here comes some white splaining, I guess, or maybe Jew splaining, I don't know. Relying upon a 67-year-old warrant, while it's an interesting academic exercise, I think would be unsound police work, said Ronald J. Reichlach. A law professor at University of Mississippi and an expert in criminal procedure and Mississippi criminal trial practice.
Well, the case is closed.
Yeah, that's
the thing is, like, it's not, there's no open case. So the warrant is moot.
I mean, the open case is like these Negroes are mad and this is what we do now.
Right. I mean, if you want to get legalistic, I'm saying, like, if they're trying to do like legal autism, like, it's a warrant for arrest. It's like
the warrant has errors in it. I'm reading here.
The warrant's probably fucking fake.
It said the newly discovered, where did it go?
Newly discovered. Whenever you hear the word newly discovered, I'm like, all right, so it's a fake.
And it's dated August 29, 1955. It charged that the two men and Donham identified as Mrs. Roy Bryant with Emmett's kidnapping. An affidavit attached to the warrant says that the three did willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously and without lawful authority.
It's fake. Yeah, it's they like, don't know what they're doing.
Willfully, unlawfully, she was feloniously,
never, there was never an accusation that she was involved in the kidnapping.
That's like why it would be like if this warrant was never acted on. If it's not fake, is because it's like they didn't use this one because it's wrong.
Because the real warrant would have been for Bryant and his sin.
But you're not. Yeah. Let me finish the whole thing.
I'm sorry.
Willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously, and without lawful authority, forcibly seize and confine and kidnap Emmett Lewis Tell, misspelling the boy's first and last names as well as his middle name.
This is done by a nigger.
They misspelled all of his. They misspelled every name also, he has.
Also
Emmett
Lewis Tell. Willfully, unlawfully, feloniously.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's nigger shit.
A note on the back of the warrant signed by a local sheriff says Donham was not arrested because she was not located in the county at the time, said Keith A. Beauchamp, a filmmaker who directed a 2005 documentary about the killing and helped find the warrant.
How long have they had this warrant?
I don't know. When was it discovered?
Yeah. It's a newly discovered.
This study, June 30th, 2022. Arrest after, where was it? A team of researchers discovered an arrest warrant when? Last week in a basement in courthouse in Greenwood.
Bullshit. Were the researchers black? Because this sounds like some nigger shit. Although maybe that, you know, they need, niggers might even not be smart enough to do this. I don't know.
Well, it's the team of researchers including Emmett Till's relative. So it's like, all niggers. Yeah,
it's all fucking fake. It's all fake.
And I guarantee you nobody will stand up and say this is a forgery to these niggers. Like, just won't do it.
Well, I like how the actual scholar is coming in. Like, there's some problems with the warrant. It's like, yeah, it's fake. The problem is it's fake.
Yeah.
It misspells Ellett. I mean, like, I'll bet you they could probably produce the actual warrant from records on microfiche.
Well, why would there be what do they call that? When they, that the execution of the warrant, with the when you follow through, what do they call it? Whatever. Well, why would they have this old warrant that they didn't follow through with, like, it's just laying around,
particularly since that
and nobody saw it before,
particularly since they did maybe it's just, if it's real, it's like it was a rough draft or something. Like, I don't fucking think it's real. I think it's fake, because the fact is that Brian and his accomplice were arrested,
and
they were put in jail.
They probably realized that there's like, perhaps there was an accusation, but like, there's no evidence that she was involved, so we can't arrest her.
There was never an accusation that she was present when he was killed.
Right.
The accusation against her, the traditional accusation against her, is that she lied, that she was actually flirting. This is the traditional accusation against Carolyn Bryant. She was actually flirting with Emmett Till, and then this was seen by other whites, and she was embarrassed. So she then made up a story. Mm. That's the traditional accusation against her.
Yeah.
It is not that she participated in the kidnapping and murdering of him. That has never been one of the accusations used against her. It's not something that came up. They had a whole fucking trial with witness testimony and everything. There's nobody that says that they saw her. Not a single witness is saying they saw a woman. There are witnesses saying there was two niggers. Mm. There are witnesses saying that there was two fucking niggers. I forget what their names were. It's really funny. They only had like one syllable names, but there was two blacks who actually, even at the time, were like ushered out of it so that there wouldn't be any blacks on trial for it. So there were two blacks help these two whites kidnap and hustle Emmett Till into the barn where they shot him. And I'm not even saying they didn't do it. They fucking did. I mean, they admitted it later. So they did it. I'm just not crying tears about it. Even if in the abstract you could say, yeah, okay, that's kind of wrong or whatever. I don't care. Like, is given everything, I just don't care anymore.
Keep your hands off white girls.
Yeah, I mean, just, yeah.
World would be a much better place if that was the message that came out of that.
Right.
Just don't do this stuff.
The funniest thing is there was apparently blacks that were willing to help deliver that message, too. Because they had two black accomplices, yeah. You know?
Yep.
They never got charged.
Black privilege.
That's one of my least favorite, like, Jew fairy tales.
I fucking hate
that
one.
Like, white girls love to, in deeply racist America, white girls love to flirt with niggers.
No, it's the tyranny of cuckolded, small penis white men who are not letting white women achieve their sexual desires. Like a big black cog. This is the myth. This is how it goes.
In 1955, I'm sure all that white girls wanted.
They just wanted that BBC.
To be with the nigger.
Yeah.
Garrett, it's had to be this. Just give me a fucking break.
Yeah, no. I'm sure they weren't. They don't feel at all the way white girls feel now when approached by niggers, which is like kind of scared. Like, I'm like, shit. Only like the trashiest of trashy white women fucking actually breeds with niggers. Right. But yeah, and that's outside of economic class. But yeah, that's the biggest Jewish myth is like without like these small penis insecure white men lording it over and controlling these white women with the privilege and patriarchy, they would all just go get their sexual freedom and get raped by a dozen niggers. It's all what they secretly really want. It's like, yeah, I doubt it.
I just saw another black-related headline that Mississippi has banned abortion.
Oh, so black people doing stuff. Okay.
But Mississippi only had one abortion clinic, so does it fucking matter?
Yeah, same with New Orleans, right? Or Louisiana, they only had like three. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this place just had one.
And it shows. I mean, look at how many niggers.
Right?
I'm sorry, that was very callous of me.
So I was looking for a...
It's the blackest state in the country.
I was looking for an update on the Indianapolis bouncy house shooting.
Oh, yeah. Anything?
No. Although this, I don't believe we had this fact at the time. So these two niggers that drove by the Jamaican jerk restaurant in the strip mall, they found 57 shell casings from multiple different weapons.
Wow.
They fired 57 times while there's kids jumping in a bounce house, these fucking niggers.
That's how they do. I mean,
we have initial reason to believe this is an unprovoked attack. The suspects arrived on the scene, opened fire on a crowd that was having a 4th of July celebration. That's what Mike Leeper said.
Mike Leeper's about to leap out of that district. Like, leap to another job.
Where was there? Was a funny... Bullets have...
Is he the guy that was like just tired of life, the cop?
Bullets have consequences. When they leave guns... They don't stop until they hit something.
Niggers have consequences.
No, it's the guns.
When they leave Africa,
they don't stop until they shoot something.
Until they destroy
or rape
a fucking
something.
Country.
an unprovoked attack. Just fired into a crowd just for fun. 57? 57 rounds.
That's a lot of rounds. What gun holds 57 rounds?
Well, I said multiple guns.
Oh.
Maybe they had 57 guns. Each fired one round.
Yeah, that would probably make most sense.
57 blunderbusses.
What would you have to have? You'd have like a how many? You have a how many?
Let's see,
how many
a Glock 19 and a Glock 17.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, like, how do you?
What is that like? That's like
Glock 19. Well, you're gonna have
that's
to
like
have
30.
A,
that's like 37.
So then you're going to need.
You need 20 more bullets. You need like a
Glock 20.
Do they make a Glock 20?
Sure. Yeah. Obviously, yeah,
the Glock 19 holds more ammunition than the AR-15.
Yeah, I know it's more dangerous.
I was thinking maybe you had an AR-20.
Yeah, maybe they also had
that's
an
like,
AR-20.
That's like twice as powerful
or
as
like
an
AR-10. M20 or an AK-20?
M20?
Like an AK-20.
Oh, maybe I've never heard of an AR-20. I've heard of an AR-10. I don't know why you buy an AR-10. It only holds 10 rounds.
You have it. This is it. You have an AK-47, and then what's in like a...
I mean, maybe they had a Glock 50 and then a New York Safe AR-7.
Nah. AK-47 and then something that has 10 rounds.
AR-10.
Like a Tech 9?
Yeah.
Can you have a Tech 9? You got 9 in the
Tech
thing,
9,
and one in the chamber. That's 10 bullets.
Well, no, I'm thinking then you're going to have a Saturday Night Special, which is one shot. Like, pew.
Oh. All right, that's possible, too. Yeah. Three guns, 57 rounds. We got it.
We were talking about it striking, Mike, how much like abortion, how that kind of flipped in the 60s. Gun control also flipped, where like the South used to be in favor of gun control. And the NRA used to be in favor of it.
Well,
just because of niggers.
Well, I'm sure at the time.
Democrats.
I'm sure at the time, like, surplus weapons weren't just being handed out to, like, nigger
gangsters. Well, the funny thing is, one of the first big gun control debates in America was about the Saturday Night Special, which was a cheap handgun that's easily obtainable. You could buy and get same day. And niggers were using these in a lot of murders. And it was literally, like, the race question was actually talked about. It was actually heavily the debate over this was heavily colored by people talking about race.
Colored.
And now it's like, now the funny thing is, the reason gun control debate sucks now is that it's no longer talking about how do we stop giving blacks like an easily accessible handgun that's like very inexpensive and can be, but they call it Saturday Night Special because you could theoretically buy it same day. And then if you want to kill someone on Saturday night, you can buy it Saturday afternoon, right? And blacks were using these.
It's like again, Amazon, they're it's cheap like Amazon and easy, Prime.
So, right, yeah, Amazon Prime of guns. I mean, dude, if not for blacks, we would have Amazon Prime like delivering guns in this country. There would be no problem with it. You want a new AR-15, Amazon Prime will bring it to your door. Like, it would be no issue, right? Or there would just be a gun store in your area that easily go buy it, no problem. Like, used to be able to do it in Manhattan, like I said. So, yeah. It's basically the whole fucking gun control debate.
They were called suicide pistol specials by some people.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't think that's what they were usually used for.
Maybe they were used for that too, though, because suicide has always been a big problem. It's a bigger problem now. You know, there's as many suicides as there are murders. No one talks about this in America.
All right. This is even... I'm so gun stupid, I don't even get this joke, but I know this isn't right. I'm a prior service armored infantry for the Coast Guard. For those unfamiliar, this is the button that switches your AR from regular semi-auto to overlapping auto. A civilian has no business with this capability.
He's right.
Are you fucking with me?
I thought there was a bullet.
Oh, wait, I thought it was... No, this. I thought it's this switch here is...
So the deal is, if you ever press that switch, you're guilty of a federal crime.
Shut up, Alex. What does it really mean? What is that? Do you push that button and the barrel falls out? Like, what is that?
It's the forward assist.
The fuck is a forward assist? Is that? It's like when you're playing soccer, you're offsides. It's the forward
assist. It means that if it doesn't fully chamber the round, you can smack that, and it might fully chamber it at that point.
The Lakota Man. I've seen Lakota Man before. He's like one of the dumbest motherfuckers on the whole thing. Also because he's white. He's not a
Exactly.
Man.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Thank you. That is great. See, I'm so dumb, I don't even know how to make a joke about this. But this is actually the switch right here that changes mode. It was like, don't you get burst and... I don't know what this one means. Why does this one have a bullet inside a bullet? Is this like a pregnant bullet?
Is that like a bullet being loaded from the side there?
I don't know. What do these switches mean? That's the burst, right? Because the military, they don't use auto anymore, right? They use burst, don't they?
Yeah, because they realize like fully auto is kind of retarded.
I don't know. Maybe it still does full auto. I'm not sure. Yeah, the 3-round burst I thought was more popular, but I don't fucking know. Honestly, with a good trigger, does it matter?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I mean, I always thought this from playing paintball with mechanical guns. Like, if it's got a light enough trigger pull, like, I don't know, 2.5-3 pounds, and it's short... You don't fucking need burst or any of that crap. You can already fire the thing like it's fully automatic.
Trigger warning.
It's like a fucking mouse click.
Nice. But can you do the? Can you make all kind of mistakes you make with mouse clicks? Like how you know? Accident. Oh, whoops! I was meant to scroll something else, and I scrolled that window. And accidentally, blasted the volume on my audio player.
Yeah. Shut the other one.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't even want to know what that is.
I feel like I got distracted by some other thing that I was going to bring up, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to bring up the illegal immigrants that were going to do a mass shooting.
Oh, wait. Now I remember what it was.
Oh, but they died Saturday in a tractor trailer instead.
Hold on. hold up. All Saturday right. Night Specials. Here's what it was. In 2003, the NAACP filed suit against 45 gun manufacturers for creating what it called a public nuisance through the negligent marketing of handguns, which included models commonly described as Saturday Night Specials.
The suit alleged that handgun manufacturers and distributors were guilty of marketing guns in a way that encouraged violence in Black and Hispanic neighborhoods.
I mean...
Oh, even better, even better. The suit was dismissed by U.S. District Judge Jack B. Weinstein.
Well, they should file that one again. I mean,
you know what's funny? They probably got their inspiration for that going back to, like, the original debate on these guns, where that was how, like, frankly, white people were characterizing them that way, though. But their point was sort of like, it's not that the gun manufacturers were encouraging the violence. It's just like, you're just making guns easily available to this community. You should stop.
What is his legal argument? He said he ruled that members of the NAACP were not uniquely harmed by illegal use of firearms, therefore had no standing to sue.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
What, you had to be like a victim of gun violence before you could sue?
No, even that's not unique, though.
Well, yeah.
That's the problem. You're not uniquely harmed. Like, a lot of people get shot, so, like, sorry. ironclad, right?
Why can't men breastfeed?
All right.
They've got the right hardware, just not the wiring.
All right, so that's why we can't do it.
All men have nipples and mammary glands, and most have the desire to bond with their babies and give their partners a breastfeeding break. Alas, you cannot milk a man. Dad nipples are merely decorative.
Stop.
This is at fatherly.com.
I'm just telling you. Oh, God. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think most men have the desire to breastfeed. I'm gonna put a big question mark on that one.
No, only sick, twisted perverts would have something like that occur to them.
Yeah. Hmm. But also, like, I don't know. The nipple thing, it's like, that's a... I don't like that. It's very sensitive. I don't like when that gets messed with.
I was just wondering, can we file a suit about the public nuisance of niggers and the negligent marketing campaign that established them?
Yeah. Rap music.
Yeah.
Or
there's a lot of negligent marketing. Why is every product like marketed to niggers is like somehow negligent? Like, it ultimately becomes like, it's like, you gave us things with which we used to hurt ourselves. How dare you?
In order to understand why men can lactate but usually
don't. I want you to stop.
We need to take a trip back to the embryonic stage.
Look, but we don't because we have vestigial nipples. They don't really work fine. Let's move forward.
Human embryos start out pretty much the same until the fourth week of gestation. Yeah, so on week four, you have sex difference. So, and then what? You could walk a very different path than the ladies.
Oh, no, there's actually no gender because
you can embryos. Actually just have it undone. You can just,
There's no genders because embryo. Because, like, you don't know the zygote.
Why
don't these people respect science?
Why can't everyone who works for and runs Fodley just be rounded up and executed?
Who runs Fatherly?
I don't know. Someone that needs to be executed. Like, if you're going to put out
marketing.
Yeah, this is a negligent marketing campaign. What the hell is... What negligent marketing campaign am I looking at here?
These are like nigger drag queens at a school.
That's a negligent marketing campaign. Yeah. I'm using that a lot.
With the caption, I can't homeschool my kids because they need to be properly socialized. I guess
That's a pretty good caption for that. Yeah. That's
a pretty good euphemism, right?
Well, this is America. Yeah, this is it's like I don't homeschool my kids because I need them to be exposed to these kind of negligent marketing campaigns. Like,
this isn't even architecture. This is just
the architecture is bad, though. I mean, that is a very brutal.
It's actually everything.
I mean, it is like a brutalist.
Everything that's in the frame of all of these shots is bad, except maybe that little glimpse of blue sky up there.
Yeah. Even the streetlights are poorly designed.
Actually, I'll take that back. There shouldn't be blue sky. There should be like bombs or something falling.
There should be hellfire.
Did you ever have like in school like the weird kid that wasn't allowed to be at this or that thing? Parents would pull him out.
Yes.
Can you imagine now you're the weird kid that doesn't want to go to drag queen story hour day at school? Like the weird kid now, his weird parents kept him home because he didn't want to go to the gay event during Pride Month at school this year. That's the weird kid. Weird kid stayed home. Or we all our parents.
A lot of times the weird kid was like a non-white because he had some like dietary restrictions. something like that.
Oh, usually the weird kid was like his parents had like a higher moral standard and actually loved them.
Yeah,
they were Christian or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course they were all scoffed at. But now you're like, now you have the weird kid that doesn't want to go to the gay thing will get scoffed at.
I don't know if they'll get scoffed at.
Well,
that I would be interested to know.
Well, if you don't scoff, you might get in trouble.
I feel like adults are the scoffers here, but I'm questioning I don't know what dynamics the kids are having with this stuff. That would be something interesting to find out. Like, what's the dynamic amongst the kids themselves about this shit?
Oh, no.
Like, if you're not going to do something gay... This is fucking stupid.
This is also an architecture problem, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, this is liked by our buddy ER. I follow ER on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
This is the kind of gold ER brings me on Twitter. He should do a
I'm wondering how deep that hole goes. Like, what's down there?
That's a pretty serious pipe. What's down
there?
It's
a big old pipe.
What's down there is a dead nigger. Sorry.
Apparently so now, yeah. Well, I'm wondering, like, does it go deeper? Like, how deep is that pit?
We have to go deeper.
did that nigger just keep falling and falling and falling? That's my question.
He came out the other side of the earth. Now he's in France.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of... When you hit a normie meme on Twitter, it's just like, bam, the replies are just indescribable.
Yeah.
Like, ads and scams and...
Oh, my God.
People laughing in other languages. All right, we're out of here. We're done. We're done, right? We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. So what about these illegals? They were going to do the shooting and then
there's a claim they were going to do a mass shooting, but they, like, prevented it by, like, arresting them. So is this what we have to now say? We see Beaners, like, this mass shooting is going to happen. Come get them.
That's a safe, secure border? Or was this the mass shooting that was going to be done at the Amazon warehouse? So they... Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do not get in the way of the consumerism.
It's in like Fairfax, Virginia, or something like that, or Richmond, Virginia.
Because I know I saw there was a mass shooting thwarted where somebody was planning to do it in an Amazon warehouse. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, that's when the resources of the state are really brought to bear.
Do not interrupt the prime accounts.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is really goddamn funny. Fucking stupid ass.
It's like right in too. It's like it's you know, you could have fallen a different way. You didn't have to
swish.
Right. Nothing but air.
All right, let's get out of here. I'm gonna go. Everybody have a night. It's Friday, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Shit, I have to do the. Oh man,
we have to do all that annoying shit.
I only do all this stupid paywall server shit. All right. Have a good weekend, folks.
All right.
I think we're gonna have a normal week next week.
Always give your best. Never discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.